much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, I'm Adam West. Here on the Adam West Show, I help people just like you to fight those everyday villains you meet in your hometown.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Alright, so what are we working on now?
Okay, we're going to do this right here. If you don't have no crescent rolls, you can use any kind of cheap-ass donuts or whatever. It don't matter. So you do the same thing. Spread some on there, okay? This is butter, sugar, and cinnamon, okay? Put a lot of sugar in it so it tastes real good for the kids and okay? Then you put a little raisins on one side.
This is donuts you're making?
No. This is, I don't know what the this is, okay? It's just something sweet for the and kids, okay? Damn, you gotta stay with me now.
And now,
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Our feature presentation.
I love that woman so much. She's the best cooking show on TV.
Aunt Fee, I want to say is her
name? I think
name?
So, yeah.
Something like that. She's got a cooking internet show that is very popular.
For the kids, an S.
Well, you gotta keep up. gotta keep up with Aunt Fee.
Come on.
She's fantastic. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 12th of March.
Do we have consecutive months with Friday the 13th in them, and does that matter?
I don't know, and not a bit.
Okay. Moving on. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Bean.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm concerned about you.
You're concerned about him. Why?
I just want to make sure you have internet.
I have internet. Brief update, because I told the meltdown story yesterday, and then we'll move on, is the unnamed multinational corporation that begins with a C did come out to my home yesterday, and they seemed very competent.
Were they on time?
What's that?
Were they on time?
Yeah, they came within the window.
How about
yeah,
that?
Within the 3-hour window, yeah.
All right.
And they came out and they diagnosed the problem. They said I have a break in the line 74 feet from the pole on the street, somewhere underground in my yard.
Wow.
I have a break in the line. And I said, what could cause something like that? And he said, I don't know. I said, could it be moles, for instance? And he says, no, moles just move dirt around.
They rats.
Chew through,
rats.
Not underground where the cable would be. I mean, that's a couple of feet underground. That would seem unlikely. Anyway.
Beaver?
Beaver's a good question.
Beaver.
I don't even know her, first of all. But second of all, unclear.
Unclear.
So the guy was very helpful. He said, I said, so what happens now? And he says, well, you need to, I started to get a pit in my stomach. He says, you need to, we need to make an appointment for you because it's a different crew that comes out and fixes things like this. We diagnose things like this. But
good.
We need somebody else to come out and fix it. Somebody will call you within 10 days and then it could take up to 6 weeks to get that appointment. And I said, what? And they said, but don't worry because we're just going to lay some cable overground so that you'll have – your internet will be back. I can put your internet back up in a few minutes, but you just have a cable running, you know, from the street across your grass to your house.
You can deal with that.
Yeah, so I can deal with that, exactly. So that's what I've got.
It could run through your bed. You wouldn't care. You just need your internet.
But don't we all need our internet?
Yes, yeah.
We do, but some of us need it more than others.
It's because it's a utility now.
It is,
being without your internet is like being without water or power, I think.
Okay, but it's not exactly like being without water. Okay.
If I had to choose...
Food?
I might do without the water for a while before I do without the internet. But anyway, the point is, the guy did a nice job, and I was very pleased. And I did mention to him that I almost ended up in a psychiatric hospital the day before dealing with three of their, shall we say, overseas correspondents.
Yes.
And he just rolled his eyes. He said, I hear that all day, every day. But he also told me that they are in the process of trying to move more of those call centers back to America, which was a surprise to me.
USA.
Because it has to be cheaper to hire these people in India, right?
That's why it all went there.
Yeah.
Because it's much cheaper.
Because you could hire people for $3 an hour or something, you know?
Or kids for like a dime.
He says that he says that they're in the process of moving it back. He says he thinks as of now, very bright young man that I spoke with, by the way. He says as of right now, he thinks it's about 60% in country and 40% overseas.
What?
And they're working to make that even more. And
I was so surprised by that. USA!
Because clearly, no one I spoke with the day before had ever been to America. There was no doubt about that. Right. So anyway, so
did you ask him your fascinating question about how is it that I need to start from scratch every time I go to a new person? Why can't you just transfer my info?
I did ask him that question, and that is one of all of our concerns, is that they're all working in the same company, same office, same computer system, yet the next guy has no idea who you are or why you're calling and has access to none of the information that you just so painstakingly gave to the previous person. And he said, I don't know.
All right.
Okay. It doesn't make any sense to me either.
Did he stay for dinner?
No, he didn't stay for dinner.
Is he coming back?
Surprise.
Lunch.
He gave you your internet.
Yeah, I feel like there's a relationship now.
Well, I mean, I got to say, you know, you guys make fun of me all the time for asking too many questions.
Yeah.
He was a guy who didn't seem to mind the questions and, more importantly, was willing to spend the time to give me the answers. And I really appreciated that. But let me just say one more thing and then we'll move on. And that is, I was watching this guy do his work and I was asking him, you know, while he was hooking the thing up to the house and everything, I was asking him about the job. He says he loves the job, doesn't have somebody breathing down his neck. He's outside. He meets a lot of interesting people, goes all over town, loves the job. I said, I asked him about college and he said, well, I went to college, never liked it. I dropped out after 2 years. And I thought, this guy's a perfect example of what I always say, which is we're driving all of these kids to college. You're never going to make it if you don't go to college. You're going to have a crappy life if you don't go to college. He's got a great job with great pay and great benefits that he didn't need a college education for and just wasted 2 years going to college.
USA!
But nobody,
it seems like
if you're 18 and you're getting out of high school and you say to your parents or you say to your friends or you say, hey, I want to lay cable. If you tell them that's what you want to do for a living, they just mock you as if you're not good enough or not trying hard enough. When those are completely respectable jobs that anyone would be happy to have, I think.
And on the flip side, I graduated from college with a degree in English.
Great point.
That happened.
Oh, parents.
And then all of this happened.
So apparently you're not allowed to want a trade job in our country because you're no good if you don't go to college. But I'm just here to say that my little friend Josh yesterday proves that the opposite is true for some people.
Bean, he's there, isn't he?
He's there right now.
He is here. All right, he did stay for dinner and he did stay over.
All right.
I got to go wake him up in a few minutes because he's got to get back to work.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beecher, shall we?
All right, let's get started.
Thank you, Mark. I don't know if you heard yesterday, but Kanye West has a new song. It's about Kim first, and it's called Awesome. And then he changes it near the end, and it's about himself, and it's also entitled Awesome. So
spectacular.
That is a good deal. More info on the opening act. We'll play some of the comedians that are sending in their video.
Truly amazing.
Okay. We have Jim Rome talking sports. Very exciting day in the NFL.
What you're seeing is the face of a champion.
Okay. And we have some live music today. On the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Walk the Moon joining us in the 7 o'clock hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is devotion. This is perseverance. This is greatness.
Right. Showbiz beat is next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
You want to go to Coachella, right? And you want to hang out at the K-Rock Coachella house? You can do both of those things at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets, and you're qualified to also win a brand new car, a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. You can get all the details at K-Rock.com, but 5 o'clock this afternoon is when you can qualify for the car, win the tickets to the house and the show. And the grand prize drawing is going to be on Friday, April the 10th at the K-Rock Coachella house. That's fast approaching, you guys.
Yes,
that's less than a month from now.
Yes, it is.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost Coachella time already.
Mm.
Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, everyone. How
are
you?
What's going on
with you? We're good. Could not help but think this morning, as Bean described his the experience with Josh, the cable man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing a service call at Bean's house?
I've never thought that through. No.
It just made me laugh because you said, so I'm there watching Josh do his work, leaning over his shoulder, talking to him. And he said he loves his job because there's no one over his shoulder looking at him while he's doing his work. I was like, he was giving you a hint. He's working. He said, you know what I really like about this job? There's nobody over my shoulder looking at me while I'm working. Oh, really? Oh, I need some more information. What's that wire do there?
He was happy to answer all of my questions.
What does that screw do? Oh, that's a big screwdriver. Where do you get something like that? Do you get that at Ace Hardware? Or do you have to go to a special place? Oh, there's Josh. Poor Josh.
You just managed to take a beautiful human connection.
You don't have it those.
Something now.
Those
maybe
don't exist beautiful for you. I don't think it was beautiful for Josh. I can't imagine him trying to get his work done. I need more information. What's the speed of that wire there? How fast does that go?
Josh went back at work. He was like, I quit.
Oh,
I can't deal
it.
With
I don't
the people.
Ever. You send me back there, it's all over.
Asking the questions.
So I'm there looking at him while he's working. He said, oh, I like being outdoors and no one's over my shoulder. You were over his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, now you've just, you've spoiled it.
He didn't do anything except for open your eyes.
That's right. That's what I'm here for. Open everybody's eyes. Will Ferrell, is he the best or what?
Yes.
Yes.
He is the best.
But why are you asking?
Because he's just got a great idea for a new HBO special he's starting to film.
Okay.
He's going to 5 different spring training ballparks in Arizona today. And, well, he's going to start today. And he's going to be filming himself trying to pay tribute to the historic feat of a guy named Bert Campanaris back in 50 years ago.
Okay.
And play every position on the field for 10 different teams in 10 days.
For professional teams?
Yes.
Just
while they're in spring training. He's going to play all the positions, every position in baseball.
What day is he going to pitch?
For 10 different teams in 10 days.
What day is he going to pitch and when is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
But we'll see it all in an HBO special. Here's his schedule. You can follow his progress on social media if you go to hashtag Ferrell Takes the Field. He's going to be at the Seattle Mariners-Oakland A's game at 12:50 today. Then he goes to the Chicago Cubs-Angels game at 1:10 p.m. The Cincinnati Reds and Arizona D-backs game at 2:10. San Francisco Giants versus the White Sox at 4:05. And then the Dodgers versus the Padres at 6:15 p.m.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Why?
I don't know. I understand.
What was the tie-in there, Kevin?
From Ricky Bobby.
Oh.
Mega Knights.
Because that was a kid who was in a movie with Will Ferrell. We were supposed to know that.
Okay.
Because of the obvious
connection. Now you guys
connection.
Totally put on the brakes, but I was going to follow that up
with. What did that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Well, see, that would make sense.
Great drop.
Just play that one. That's Will Ferrell. See, that would relate directly to what we were talking about.
Because it would sound like am I blowing your mind by what I'm doing today?
See, it would be a perfect thing for Will Ferrell to say about something that Will Ferrell's doing. Do you think he stabs people, Kevin? You think Will Ferrell's going to go around stabbing people?
I hope so. So if he's playing for all 10 teams over the course of 5 games, that means
in
he's going to come
position.
Out. Right. That means he's going to come out and he'll be in left field in a Mariners uniform. And then a couple of innings later, he'll show up on third base in an A's uniform. What I'm saying is he'll play for both teams in the same game.
Right.
Okay.
That's fascinating.
10 teams in 5 games.
You don't see that very often where a player goes from one team to the other during a game.
No, you don't see that. That's for sure. He's just nuts. He's nuts.
He's the best.
A lot of this is for his great cause, by the way, Cancer for College, as well as Stand Up for Cancer.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little.
Nothing to do anything.
Okay, sorry.
And so they're going to auction off memorabilia from his trips, and different proceeds will all be benefit towards cancer causes. So, good stuff.
Every time we hear a story about him, we go, what's happening?
Yeah, he gets weirder and weirder.
What's he doing and why?
Yeah. Hear about the new dream mall they're building?
The new dream mall.
The people who run the Mall of America
in Florida?
Yeah, the people who run Mall America in Minnesota said they're opening an even bigger one in Miami. It will be called the American Dream Miami. Here's what we'll have in it. It's going to be a mall, naturally. You'll be able to buy stuff there. There'll be stores.
Sure.
But that'll be just a small part of the adventure. A miniature golf course, a water park, a skating rink, Legoland, sea lions, an indoor ski slope with 800 feet of artificial powder, and submarines.
I'm sorry.
And there will be submarines.
In the mall.
In the mall.
In Miami.
In Miami. You'll go into the indoor ocean and go in submarines. Stop it. Stop it, America.
Sometimes, I'm like, I need some lotion from Bath and Body Works, and I'd love to see a sea lion. This is awesome for me.
I want to feed some sea lions and get some skiing in. when I go by Brookstone to get my massage chair.
Have you guys ever been to any of those mega, mega, mega malls like the Mall of America in Minnesota or the Edmonton Mall, which is the largest in North America, by the way? Have you been to either of those?
I did a theatrical tour in the winter in Minnesota. I was performing in Minnesota, and the only thing you could do was so cold out. They literally told you don't go outside because your skin will freeze. So yeah. The only thing you could do was go to the mall in Minnesota, and it was a nightmare.
It was
a freaking nightmare. Mall of America is a nightmare.
I mean, was it there's just so many people
and just disgusting. It's awful. It's awful on every level.
Well, it's funny because I love the Mall of America, of course.
Oh,
but there's a Knott's Berry theme park in the mall.
I know. There's roller coasters.
An indoor theme park.
Yeah, I know. There's all kinds of rides and stuff.
And there are, I mean, that's just insane to think about when you think about how small by relative comparison malls are in Southern California. But then there's also, the mall is so big, Kevin, that lots of stores have two locations within the mall. Because if you want to go to the Bed Bath & Beyond over here, it's way too far to go to the Bed Bath & Beyond over there.
You have to charter a jet.
Yeah, it's 2 miles away. So there are tons of stores that have two locations. Isn't that crazy? It's a big mall, is what I'm saying.
It's an awful place.
It's crazy that you love it so much.
Why do you love it? It's an awful place, Bean.
Well, I
you
had
hate
a different
crowds,
experience.
You hate people.
Different experience right. than you did. I wasn't there in the wintertime with 40,000 people or whatever it is, and you know, away from home, and probably you know not digging the vibe of Minnesota.
You were digging the vibe of Minnesota, were you?
Oh, that Minnesota vibe.
It's a great vibe.
It really just sweeps you away when you get there.
It's just neat because it's unlike any other place in America. It's just it's a one of a kind. That's all.
It's just
until this Miami Mall opens
he's
up.
He's obsessed with one of a kind stuff. He can't get enough.
Right, because it's the most of something. Yep. It's the EST of something.
It's the world's largest,
so
essentially
largest
it's that
mall.
Mindset.
So you got
to
go.
Bean's already booked his flight to Miami for this.
He's
going to
watch this construct it. Yeah. He's going to get a lawn chair and he's going to pull up next construction site. Just wait for it to open.
Hey, Josh.
Is that PVC laying?
Well, Josh and I are looking forward to going to Miami with this mall opens.
What's the tensile strength on that? I need more information. What kind of cable are you running there? Imagine Josh in his house.
Oh, nightmare.
When are they going to dig up my underground cable? When is that going to happen, Josh? I don't know. Why can't they get the information from one person to the next when I called? I don't know.
It is funny to try and picture it from the other guy's point of view.
Yeah.
Bean's like, he was happy to answer all my questions.
He loved my questions. Couldn't get enough of my questions about the sales department who answers the phone. It's something he has nothing to do with.
In India.
He loved those questions. Yeah. Now flip the coin. He said he didn't know a lot. Yeah. Here's how he said it. I don't know. Would you like some chocolate milk?
It's a little outdated.
It's just past the expiration date. It's a little sour.
Put it up chocolate, it still tastes fine.
Poor Josh.
I love Bean so much.
You're a freaking cartoon. You are a cartoon.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli. Liza! She's 69 years old today.
Kevin, you know her from Arrested Development.
I do. Yes.
I do.
Not a big fan of hers. That's why he brings that up.
But she's great.
Whatever. but I do like Arrested Development a lot.
James Taylor, 67 years old today. Porn legend Ron Jeremy, the Hedgehog himself, is 62. Aaron Eckhart celebrates his 47th birthday today. He's dreamy. Blur guitarist Graham Coxon is 46 years old. Actor Sam Levine, the talented and lovely, he is 33. And speaking of lovely, Jamie Alexander plays Sif, Lady Sif in the Thor movie. She was just on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the other night. 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome on the program today. And coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll give you all the details on how you can be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, which is coming up on April the 4th at the Shrine. That's all straight ahead. First, though, something that I can in no way endorse.
You love this story.
I really, this story.
It's your favorite story of all
makes
time.
Makes me so nervous. I'm glad it ended up the way it ended up. This could have been very disastrous.
Teenager stole a goat named Chip. Here are the details.
2-year-old Chip is back home safe and sound with his family. This after some teens goat-napped him late Saturday night. According to Milton police, 4 teens were involved in trespassing onto this property and stealing Chip.
For a lot of people, it may sound kind of silly that it's a goat, but to this family, that it's their pet. So it would be, I equate it to, you know, somebody stealing your dog or your cat.
Now stop right
like
there.
That.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
As humorous as you find this, Kevin, if somebody got into your yard and stole your dog,
Yeah.
How would you feel?
That isn't your dog, though, right?
It certainly is.
But it's not. The thing
how
is
it not?
It's a goat.
Just because you don't have a goat doesn't mean other people don't have goats that they love. They don't have sheep that they love and pigs that they love and other animals that are not just dogs and cats.
It's
every bit as traumatic for them to lose Chip as it would be for you to lose your dog. Every bit.
Kevin.
Why is it funny to steal a goat and it's not funny to steal a goat?
It's not funny to steal a goat. This story's funny. Because they jumped the fence. The reason they gave the police for jumping the fence, and then the follow-up.
And it's definitely something that was very important to them.
Although I appreciate your attempt to take all humor out of it.
A neighbor told us he was the one who spotted four males near two vehicles parked on the side of the road around 11:30 Saturday night. He says he watched as a group loaded something into one of the trucks and then both vehicles took off. That's when he called 911.
They were able to locate the goat that had been stolen.
It turns out of the teens involved, the juvenile knows the family and knew the family had a pet goat.
All right, now, while you're listening to the end of this report, which is almost over, I would like you to start formulating in your head why the teens took the goat. What was their
and
what
they tell the first thing you think of
is not it.
Right.
That's the worst of all possible things, and thank God that wasn't what they were going for.
But the big question remains why these teens would kidnap a family's pet goat.
What they explained to the officers is it was part of a prank, kind of. They were stealing the goat, from what they said, to take a picture as part of a prom invitation.
So the guy was going to take a picture with the goat, and he told the police he was going to say, put it on Instagram, would you goat to prom with me? That's what he told the police.
And that's why they took it.
Of the four teens involved, Milton police charged three of the teens as adults because of their ages. They face misdemeanor theft of livestock charges.
And it's just like any other prank. I mean, some pranks are harmless, but when you're talking about theft or damage to property, that's when things kind of step over the line.
Now, I did speak with Chip's owner off camera earlier today. He told me that if the teens wanted to borrow Chip, all they had to do was ask.
Call him BS. Call him BS. That's not true.
You don't think they would have let the kids take a picture with Chip in the yard?
Yeah, they would let him take a picture, but if they wanted to borrow the goat, the guy said,
I think to take a photo. Yeah, not to.
He goes on to tell me that to date he has not heard from any of the teens or gotten any apologies.
So here's the sort of funny part of the story to me is that they told the police that they were just going to take a picture. Would you goat to prom? Put it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then the police officer said, why is the goat in your truck then?
Right.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have just taken the photo?
The only thing I was thinking, and I haven't seen the video, is did they steal the goat at night and then they were hoping to take a picture during the daylight when you could see the goat?
Maybe they couldn't take
a picture at night.
Yeah, because there's no flash on any camera.
That's true. And they also could have probably gone back during the day.
Sinister things are afoot with these four in Georgia.
You think so?
Right,
you think?
Now.
Do you think the prom picture is just a cover for what was really intended? You think this is some sort of Santeria group or something?
Yes, I think it all centers around Santeria.
Who makes up when you go to prom with me, though? Like that's your.
It's pretty amazing,
right? So too amazing for them to make up. I feel like it's just stupid.
You think it's a cover story? That's interesting.
No. I think it's too stupid to make up. I think it was what they were really doing.
But you don't think if it's a pet that the family would notice the goat was missing? If you think they want to take it during the day,
yeah,
they're going to bring the goat back and be like, "Hey, we found your goat."
Yeah, maybe look for a reward, and then you have money to take Chip. No, not Chip. Sorry, Chip was the goat. So then you have money to take the girl to the prom.
Do you think the follow-up plan was after will you goat to prom with me was then to say after prom will you sheep with me?
Oh.
Hey, speaking of K-Rock bands we like, how about Walk the Moon in town for a couple of sold-out shows? They're going to be joining us next hour in studio here on The Kevin DeBean Show and performing live. That's always that's a lot to ask of the touring bands to come in at the crack of ass and play live on the radio, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not all happy about it. But
they Walk the Moon, good guys. We've had them on before, so I'm looking forward to that. That's in 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin DeBean Show.
April Foolishness is right around the corner. And
yeah,
we're looking for an opening act.
Allie, have you been to April Foolishness?
I have. I didn't go last year, but the one I went to was Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Brad did a killer set. And then Jay Moore was freaked out coming out after him.
And this is for another time, but it was only then that Ali realized that the Armenian comedian is real.
Yeah.
Up until that.
I wasn't proud of that.
She literally thought that it was like a character that we had
created.
Did
you think it was like a Ralph voice bit or something?
I thought it was a bit, because how could that guy be real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we thought when we met him. But
and so consistent, too. Well, it's actually a good tie-in, Kevin, because the Armenian comedian did attempt to open April Foolish this one year, if you'll recall. We did have him come out on stage and start to tell a joke, and then we gave him the hook. And I think he lasted about 15 seconds. But if you've got more and better material than Sam, we are looking for you to be the opening act for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2015. It's at the Shrine Auditorium. It is completely sold out. This is the show you've been hearing about with Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and the aforementioned Brad Williams. They're already on the bill. Now we're looking for you to open the show.
Now, 2 minutes or less is what we're looking for. A video of you being funny, whatever that is. And I think we learned yesterday that audio plays a pretty big part in that.
This is my song. And I don't know if you guys hear this, but when I really get my music, I start staring at myself in the rear view.
Now, I know it's you're thinking to yourselves, hey, why are you playing two things at once? That's not us. That's this dude. That's whoever this dude was that sent.
In rock video.
Dude sent that in.
Interestingly enough, he's the front runner for you.
That's true. I like it.
You know what might be a good idea? Tell me if I'm barking up the wrong tree here, you guys, is you're doing that material on stage, and that's great. We don't need to see an audience to hear your material, though. I think it would be better for us if you just recorded your jokes in front of your laptop or in front of your phone or something like that, where we could hear you better, I think, right?
Well, yeah, but isn't the audience part of it? Like, the laughter is sort of part of that, isn't it?
I think the trade-off to get it in front of an audience for the audio quality.
I'm partial to that last guy. I like him.
Just I don't know. You like what he was putting down, huh?
He's the Armenian comedian of comedy. I don't know what Armenian is. All right, so here are a couple of other...
What?
Here are a couple other comedians that sent in 2 minutes.
Rappers. Which is why they have the best intros. They're in charge, right? I was on YouTube and I saw this rapper. They put the camera on him and the guy goes, "What's good? It's your boy Critical. Shout out to Rocksteady Vanguard, EO Dub, Grand Tom 7 Bass Mentality, Extended Players, Real Talk, Big Up 718 Ground Zero Hype Crew, El Crooked Eye, Philly Swain, Beat House, Fresh Coast, King of the Dot. Let's go." How much better is that than "Give It Up for Pete Guericar"? You know what I mean?
That was Pete Guericar sending that.
That's
great.
That's really well done, sir.
This is Ian Harris, and he's talking about how much it must suck to have a birth defect.
Watching a documentary show about rare birth defects and birth disorders, okay? And they had these two girls on there that were stuck together at the head. One is like full size. The other one is half size, right? And they keep her on a tray attached to a chair, and she is a country singer. And I'm thinking to myself, how bad would that suck to be attached to a country singer?
See, because it's not the birth defect.
It's the country music.
Very impressive today, by the way. It's a good batch.
Dan Madonia.
I do drugs professionally, mainly because you don't want me doing anything else. You don't want me watching your kids. Which is bull because we watch the same shows.
These are, I think, way better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
I thought we'd get a lot of bad. We are getting some bad, which makes me happy. But we're getting some good ones.
I think there are a lot of very talented people in the listening area. And I think there are a lot of people who want to be a comedian. I mean, they look at this rightfully so. As Taylor Williamson told us yesterday, professional comedian, when he was in on the show, he's like, this is a phenomenal opportunity. He wished he'd had a chance to do something like this. You know, I mean, he went the America's Got Talent route, but this is the same kind of thing. You get in front of professionals. You get in front of, a paying audience of 6,000 people. Who knows where a spot like this leads you?
And Jay Moore has promised to take you on the road.
I'm pretty sure he promised that. I don't think that's true.
One last clip. Anthony Rosas talking about women in the silent treatment.
Well, ladies, I have a question for you. Do you, any of you, really believe that silent treatment is a punishment? It's a reward. It's like a dog treat for a man. Except instead of having to beg and roll over, we just have to piss you off, which is so easy. Because now I'm in the bedroom watching SportsCenter uninterrupted, as opposed to watching the Kardashians with you in the living room. And for those of you that don't are the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian, she does porn, Kourtney Kardashian, and their big brother, Khloe.
Big brother, Khloe.
We're looking for your two-minute video. You can go to KRock.com or KevinandBean.com. The deadline is going to be at the end of next Friday's show. Then we're going to pick a top 10, put them up at KRock.com, and then you, the Kevin and Bean audience, will vote who gets to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. This news that Ralph brought us yesterday during showbiz has made me reevaluate my whole life. I thought I had a pretty good deal going with my wife. I thought we had a romance. We're nothing compared to Kim and Kanye. I mean, that's the greatest romance of our time, right?
Well, none of us are.
None of us can compete with the love that those two share, with how much Kim loves Kanye and Kanye loves Kim and Kanye loves Kanye and Kim loves Kim. They have every combination covered, don't they?
Kanye released a new song called Awesome. And it's about Kim being awesome.
Because, baby, you're awesome. Feel too good to ever hurt. I hope you're ready for tonight. I'm gonna cook you with dessert. It can't be still. I gotta move. I gotta dance. I gotta live. I gotta love. I gotta hope. I got a chance. Cause baby, you're awesome.
I have a question. Auto.
Why is he gonna cook her a dessert?
Yeah, that's number
cook
one.
Cook her a dessert. Because
I was wondering about that too.
But B, you can't really hear that because of the auto-tune.
Remember when he was good?
Turn it down.
Remember when he rapped, you guys?
Yes.
And he was amazing. Remember
that? He went through that phase a few years ago with the 808s and Heartbreak. Was that the album he had a lot of auto-tune on?
I think so,
that was a good album, some good songs. But I thought, okay, now you've had your experimental auto-tune album. Now it's time to go back to what makes Kanye great. But no, he's not letting go of the auto-tuning.
Oh, by the way, Kim's not the only one that is awesome.
Oh, really? Baby, I'm awesome.
Kanye is awesome.
Okay. Awesome.
Also,
I'm also awesome. Also, I'm also awesome.
Okay, you're awesome. We got it, guys.
Y'all know.
Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know.
But let me ask you guys this. Maybe this is a ridiculous question because we're talking about an egomaniac. Even if you sincerely, as Kanye seems to, think that you are a genius and you think that you are awesome.
Right.
Don't you have some sort of filter that alerts you that if I put out a song where I'm singing about how awesome I am, I'm just going to come across as a jackass?
Well, I think that's what people have thought now for how long has it been? 2 years? 3 years since he's been on I'm a Genius kick?
Yeah. How do you, with a straight face, put out a song that lists all the ways you're awesome?
I want to believe this is fake.
You do?
I want to believe it's so bad because you can't be this bad.
Good news for you. We have Kanye on the line.
Oh.
We're going to be able to check if it's real or not. Kanye, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Kanye, it's not necessary for you to have auto-tune. We're just having a phone conversation. It's just a radio interview, sir.
I'm going to cook you a big interview because I'm awesome.
You certainly do think you're awesome. Well, what about that? What about people who say, wow, why don't you get more full of yourself, Kanye? Why don't you dial it back a little bit? I mean, it does seem like you're overstating your opinion here.
But I'm a genius.
Right. Okay.
Also.
Right. Also.
I'm a genius. I'm a genius. I have a penis.
Right.
That did rhyme. Good.
Hot dogs are weenies.
Okay. You're just putting...
And I'm a genius.
Okay.
Also, too.
You're a genius, right. You say to your wife in the lyrics of the song, you don't need to listen to your manager. You way too hot for them to handle you. That doesn't seem like wise advice, Kanye.
But I'm a genius.
Right.
And I'm awesome. And her dad is gonna be a woman.
What does that have to do with... What does that have to do with anything, Kanye?
Just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Now, I don't want to bring this up. Allie, I'm going to let you run your theory by Kanye about his new song.
Kanye, are you punking us? Is this real? You can't honestly believe this.
No.
Somebody bass repeating now.
Apparently
playing over at House of Blues at that Foundation Room.
Right.
So you better check that out and get to the House of Blues before they tear it down.
Okay.
They're tearing down our city. What can I say?
They are tearing
the whole city?
City?
Building
is that accurate?
Hotels for tourists to come and look at hotels. Tourists can't come and look at tourist attractions anymore because there aren't any more tourist attractions.
Right,
just hotels.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
Okay, thank you very much, Rodney.
That's Rodney outraged.
Rodney.
He's outraged.
Oh, man, but he's deep, man.
So mad.
They're building hotels for them to come just look at hotels, man. Scooby-Bebop.
He was screaming, wasn't he? He was just incensed on
fire. Never heard of him.
Hey, Rob is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Give me a little moment with Bean. You have any moment?
Yes.
Moment with
I don't
Bean?
Think we have time.
The magical moment.
This was yesterday, right?
Yesterday was.
It's hard to remember before this moment.
I missed yesterday.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what? I was thinking. I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking
just fell off his chair. That was a moment with Bean.
Those were good times yesterday.
Oh, that's sweet.
I want that to be my ringtone.
It's crazy. It's crazy good.
All right, let me give you something, people, because you're nice. Well, not all of you, but most of you are nice. How about Paley Fest 2015?
Yay!
My favorite time of the year. This is when the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they put together a salute to TV's best, past and present. They take TV shows that are your favorites, and then they bring out the cast and creative teams behind those shows, and they put together a tribute, an evening with, and it's a great lineup this year. Every year they do a great lineup, but this year especially, Homeland, Comedy Central's programs, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and the Flash, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and more. You can go to paleycenter.org for more information, or just to join up, and you should, because they're a great organization. It's a great facility there in Beverly Hills. I often stop by the museum there. I got more than one. I got two winners. These winners will be attending an evening with Modern Family. How about that?
Oh, nice.
All right.
You know, I think we're all spoiled. I think we've had Modern Family in our lives now for years, and we take it for granted. Because I watch that show every week, and it's consistently one of the funniest television programs going.
It is.
Week in and week
and you're
out.
Right.
Laugh out loud, funny, brilliantly written, brilliantly acted, outstanding. Remember when it first came on, we're like, this is the greatest show ever!
Yeah.
Now we're like, oh, Modern Family, We're spoiled.
We are spoiled. It has remained strong the entire time.
It really has. Hasn't lost a step. The other thing, too, I thought about this show is when you watch it, you forget that it's a documentary. When we first started watching it, it was like, isn't this weird? It's like this documentary about this family that they shoot. And they still do it. They do the little interview segments and everything.
I guess so,
but they've never really established who's shooting the documentary, how long it's going on, or what it's all about. That's just the style they shoot the show in. But they never addressed the documentary part of it.
Kind of how they did The Office, remember? And then Steve Carell's last episode, he said, hey, if this ever airs, let me know.
Right, yeah. Originally, when the show was originally written, they had the documentarian be a character in the show.
Really?
And the show was going to be about him filming a documentary about these people. But they realized as they were developing the show, we don't really need that element. We just need to focus on the family story.
Huh.
That's why you don't know who the documentarian is. Speaking of the original premise of this show, what was the original title of Modern Family? That's going to be my trivia question. I want some real Modern Family fans to go to this evening with the cast and creative team of Modern Family. So call me now, 1-800-520-1067, and tell me if you know the answer. What was the original title for Modern Family? First two callers who get through with that answer will be going to the evening with Modern Family, thanks to the Paley Center. Well, Grumpy Cat's got some competition. Finally, I hate that Grumpy Cat. He's going to be brought down
by
Puzzled Cat.
Puzzled Cat.
That's right. Puzzled Cat, man. Puzzled Cat.
No!
Crush Grumpy Cat.
Puzzled Cat.
Yeah. Here we go.
The cute cat.
Sam the cat.
Puzzled.
Has very dark and unique eyebrows that make him look like he's always puzzled by something. He's the latest phenomenon. His photos of his puzzled look have racked up 200,000 Instagram followers and almost a million likes on Facebook. Coming soon to a store near you, Puzzled Cat t-shirts, Puzzled Cat puzzles, Puzzled Cat mugs.
Does Puzzled Cat say,
I don't believe so. I don't think Puzzled Cat has a voice yet. But right. Trying to take a little of the money away from Grumpy Cat, Puzzled Cat is stepping into the breach. So,
yep,
coming soon to you. You can go to Sam Has Eyebrows, at Sam Has Eyebrows on Twitter if you want to follow Puzzled Cat.
What if you don't?
But I'm not required to, right?
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you posting pictures of your dog wearing birthday hats. I want to hear from you. Have you ever posted a picture of your dog wearing a birthday hat?
He has. I can vouch for that.
I think it is possible.
Answer the question, you know, Mr. Baxter.
I think you know I am against dogs wearing clothes. You know that.
Yet and yet.
Did you or did you not?
Please.
I want you to answer my question.
Thank you, Judge Judy.
My wife finds those birthday hats on dogs adorable.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. We ask for the death penalty, Your Honor. Dave Grohl. He's the best.
He is the best.
That's not a question, right?
I mean, he is. But, you know, they did Sonic Highways on HBO, of course. Great series.
Mm-hmm. Great series.
During the Seattle episode, remember Dave went through the demo tapes, the reels of demo tapes he made as a member of Nirvana with the band before the Foo's first album? Well, there's a 10-inch vinyl record with four of these demos that's going to be released on Record Store Day. So you get a vinyl record with four demo songs from Nirvana before they hit it big. It happens on April the 18th, which is Record Store Day. It's called
Open Up a Blog.
Songs from the Laundry Room. And it will include demos of Foo's tunes Alone and Easy Target and Big Me and a cover of Kim Wilde's Kids in America and a song you've never heard before called Empty Handed. So if you're a Foo's and a Nirvana fan, you'll want to pick that
Rock
up.
Pretty hard in those days. You want to hear a clip?
Yes, I would love to hear a clip from this. They rocked hard in those days.
Want to hear?
You guys Lifehouse fans? You know Lifehouse fans in here? Any Lifehouse fans in the hizzy? Anybody like Lifehouse?
I think they do that song
Is
about
that the band?
The band Ambulances. Lifehouse? Remember that, Bean?
No, that was Snow Patrol, Allie.
Oh,
but,
no!
She was so happy.
What was the big Lifehouse hit, Ralph? I don't remember.
I don't know, but apparently they're a band. At a
they
lot
are. They're very popular.
They arranged with Southwest Airlines on a flight from Los Angeles to Denver yesterday to play their new single, Hurricane, live on the plane for all the passengers.
I'm sorry, the name of it?
Hurricane.
Hurricane.
The new Lifehouse single, Hurricane. This had been prearranged with Southwest Airlines. I'm guessing they were videotaping it for a video. They got up and started playing the thing live for people as they were flying from Los Angeles to Denver. Not everyone enjoyed it.
Uh-oh.
Awesome.
Jonah Carey, for example, tweeted in flight, trying to read New Yorker articles I've been saving up for 2 weeks. Instead, America's version of Nickelback is assaulting our eardrums.
Sweet.
There's no word on Southwest whether they will apologize to Mr. Carey or not, but he was not pleased.
That does seem to be like a place people love to disconnect from everything.
Oh, just let me read my magazine. Let me just get out of my head for a minute.
I'll stay here, you stay there, and let's not talk.
And you need a place to relax, to spread out, to get away from it all. How about a beautiful, spacious property in Telluride, Colorado? Sounds nice, doesn't it?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise is selling his property there. It sits on 300 acres, has a 10,000-square-foot main estate, a 1,600-square-foot guest home, private trails, mountain views, promises privacy and serenity. And there's a spaceship there.
Is that right?
Yeah, and a volcano and some H-bombs. Guess how much the asking price is.
I can't. 300 acres in Telluride? Come on. I
10 million?
8.5.
I was going to say 40 million.
Yeah. $60
million. 60 million?
If you'd like to have a little getaway for $60 million, you can pick up Tom's place.
How many people can be in that market for that type of
be
place?
Be the 1%, man. That's what I've always said.
That's what we learned.
That's right. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Alex was the first one through with the answer. Hello? Alex? Hi there.
Hi.
What was the original name of Modern Family?
My American Family.
My American Family. You're absolutely right.
Yay!
Hold on, we're going to get all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with the cast and creative team behind Modern Family thanks to the people at the Paley Center.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Thank you, Alex. Also, congratulations to Maita. She's also going to see an evening with Modern Family. I might check that one out myself.
Those are good times.
There's a great, I may have mentioned this already, but there's a great piece online right now with Eric Stone Street, if you're a fan of Modern Family, talking about how he almost didn't get cast as Cam about four different times. And it's fascinating. If you're an actor and you've been through that situation, you will relate to the story. But it's fascinating to see how close he came to almost not being Cam.
They literally told him that.
Several times. Yeah. He went in for the audition, and they said no, and he went home. And they said, well, come back again, but dress up this time, more in character. So he went out and bought some clothes, and he shaved, and he went in, and they said, oh, it was really great, but no, it's not going to happen. He said, now I'm pissed because I've invested money. I bought these clothes that are so gay, I'll never wear them again. But it's a nice little piece. Today's celebrity birthdays, Liza Minnelli is 69 years old today. Singer James Taylor is 67. Ron Jeremy, the Hedgehog. He's a good-looking 62, too, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He's kept himself in shape, and he looks ready, for camera ready, as they say. He's 62.
Hey, we almost lost the Hedgehog a couple of years ago.
That's
true. So it's already grateful he's still with us.
Yeah. You know, the problem was the blood rushed to another part of his body. It all left his heart, and that's why he had some issues. So they had to just give him some more. Oh, Ron, you all right? Ron! Oh,
that was Bean.
Oh, Bean.
You all right?
Blood rushed out of Bean, too.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Aaron Eckhart is 47 years old today. Graham Coxon from Blur, he's the guitarist for that band. He is 46. Sam Levine, I love Sam Levine. Very talented actor from Freaks and Geeks and other projects. 33 years old. Jamie Alexander, Lady Sif from Thor and from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She is 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
True.
What just happened?
You playing a game yet?
Nope.
Not yet. Okay. All right.
Not yet. Hey, the band Walk the Moon is here.
True.
And is going to be joining us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Catch up with them, see what they've been up to since Acoustic Christmas. Then they're going to be performing live on the show. Love those guys, by the way.
Me too.
Such a nice band. All right. Yes, we are playing a game now. It's a little something we like to call Real King, Fake King. Hit it, Steve. A broadcast legend, decades on television. You used to see him on the CNN show. Now he's got an internet TV show where he still does the newsmaker interviews on Aura TV. Every once in a while, he likes to go on Twitter and just stream of consciousness, whatever comes to mind, he tweets about.
He's 80?
Don't say it. Don't say it.
What?
Did you say he's Bean?
No. Oh, God, no.
That's what you usually say.
That's obvious. We're just trying to guess his age. I think he is 80-ish, Kevin. Yes.
Okay. Right. I think he is, yes. So what we like to do is we like to read some tweets, and then you tell us whether they're actual Larry King tweets or if they're just tweets that were made up to sound like Larry.
True.
Sometimes it's very tough to tell the difference. If you are correct and it is a real Larry King tweet, this is what you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
And if it is a fake Larry King tweet, this is what you'll hear.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right. Kevin, Ralph, and Allie, you guys are all in the game. We'll see how much time we have to play. Real King, Fake King up first. I don't know about you, but I miss Polaroids.
That's a very Larry King type thing to say. But I'm going to say Bean made that up because it's so Larry King-ish, he
wrote it to sound like something Larry would say.
Fake, sir.
Kevin is saying fake. I'm saying Bean, for all his infinite gifts, is not that good a king impersonator, because that is just too perfect. So I'd say it is real King.
All right.
Allie?
I, too, say real King.
Okay. Mm.
Will Glenda be there?
Yes, real. Yes.
Real King.
Real Alpha King.
And Allie are on the board. Well done. All right, up next.
Okay, good.
Jim Morrison was the most handsome man I've ever met. He, of course, the lead singer of The Doors, for folks who don't know the name.
Now, let me give you a little background. Larry King, for many years, was based out of Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the late 60s that he actually did interview Jim Morrison when Morrison was performing in Miami.
But he's I think Miami, by the way, is where he infamously showed his penis, too, on
That's
stage.
That's where he got arrested for indecent exposure. That's right.
But he's interviewed everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Brad Pitt and all these guys that you
but
would
I'm
consider.
Saying, but I'm saying.
Okay. You think he's got a special connection with the Lizard King?
I'm putting a little background on this.
Okay.
And because of that, I'm going to have to say real king.
All right.
I say fake king. He's interviewed everyone.
Everybody.
So let's think about all the handsomeness in the world.
You're thinking of Tom Brady right now, aren't you?
Totally thinking Tom Brady. So I'm saying fake king.
All right. I'm going to go fake king as well.
Will Glenda be there?
Ah!
Real king again.
I am the Lizard King. I can do anything.
Ralph Garman is on fire.
Thank all right. you.
It really is.
Next up. Did those who survived the Titanic get a full refund? Did those who survived the Titanic get a full refund?
Ellie, go first.
Fake. Totally fake. He would that's stupid.
Yeah, but...
Still, that's stupid.
All right, now, see, my thinking is, Bean loves that type of thing, so what's going to come to his mind? So I'm going to say fake.
See, that sounds much more like a Bean tweet than it does a Larry King tweet to me, so I'm going to say fake.
Will Glenda
what?
Be there?
No!
Come on!
Larry typed that for reals, you guys.
Come on!
Oh. For reals.
Doubled back on us. It sounded so much like Bean that it had to be Larry.
This is every movie where they're trying to detonate a bomb, and they go, all right, if I cut the red wire, but wait, they want me to think it's the red wire, but it must be the blue wire. All right, next up, real king, fake king. A lot of people ask me why I wear suspenders to keep my pants up.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
A lot of people ask me why I wear suspenders to keep my pants up.
Kevin, it's your turn.
That's fake.
You're in the barrel. Yeah, that's a bean. That's a beanism right
there.
That's
fake right
there.
That's
fake. Fake.
Bean thinking what Larry King would write.
Fake.
I say fake as well. Three fakes.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah!
Well done, you guys. Sniff that one out.
Yeah, we got that one.
You saw through me. Saw my old friend Abe Vigoda the other day, and he made fun of me for being so young. Saw my old friend Abe Vigoda the other day, and he made fun of me for being so young. Ooh. Abe Vigoda has got to be what, Ralph? He's got to be mid-90s by now, right? I would imagine.
I don't know if he's that old. He always seemed older than he was. So maybe maybe mid to late 80s.
Who's
maybe.
First? You, Ralph?
Okay. My turn now, yeah. I don't think Larry King's good friends with Abe Vigoda. I don't think they go back. There's no history there. No! I say fake.
Little background. He interviewed Abe Vigoda in Miami.
Stop it! You're just making stuff up.
And he was handsome.
And he was so handsome. Showed his penis, which is weird. I'm going to say fake as well.
Fake.
I'm going to say real.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Fake
indeed.
Fake.
All right. Has anyone said me been wrong every time?
No, you've got one.
I did get one.
You
okay.
got one.
Woo!
Ralph has
What
got
is
four.
The score here, Allie? Because
four?
we're running out of time.
Kevin 1, Ralph 4, me 3.
Neck and neck.
Ooh, so Ralph in the lead. Ralph's playing just not to lose at this point.
That's right.
All right. We've got time for a couple more. I've never been on a roller coaster. I've never been on a roller coaster.
Allie?
Real king faking.
That might be a real king because he might not have been. Therefore, he tweeted
That's
it.
Great theory.
I don't need to explain theory. It. I feel
You're
it's
over-explaining
real.
At this point.
I'm going to say fake.
Let's see.
You'd be smart just to go the opposite of whatever I say.
But he's an adventurous man. I can't imagine him not being on a roller coaster. So I'm going to say that's fake.
Will Glenda be
what?
There?
Yeah! He's never been on a roller coaster?
We are tied, Ralph.
You are tied.
Damn,
all
damn
right.
It.
Sudden death here, Kevin. We don't care what you have to say. Sudden death. I don't know about you, but I love succotash. I don't know about you, but I love succotash. Real king, Oof. Fake king, this is for the win if
He's
Ralph
trying,
and Allie
who goes?
Pick differently.
Who goes? Me?
Well, I've been told I'm not answering, so
yeah,
you go first.
We don't care what you have
right.
to say.
You go.
Oh, succotash. Thuffering succotash.
I don't even know what succotash is. It's a fruit?
It's a vegetable? No, it's a squash. It's a vegetable. It's a squash-like
right.
vegetable.
Bean right there was trying to throw you off.
I don't even know what succotash is.
That I just made up.
Oh, I would never be able to make up something about succotash because I have no knowledge of it. I'm not biting. However, I do think Larry loves succotash. Oh. So I'd have to say real king.
Well, I would say real as well, but that's not going to be fun. This is sudden death.
Yeah, you pretty much have to go the other way,
I'll
I'm sorry
fake,
to say, because we're trying to get a winner
whatever.
Here.
Will Glenda be there?
Real!
Whatever.
Ladies
real!
And gentlemen, Ralph Garman.
is your undisputed real king, fake king.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Walk the Moon is next. Hey, we last talked to these boys at night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas a couple of months ago, and they're back. Ladies and gentlemen, walk the mother effing moon in town.
Hello.
Hey. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, guys?
So hot right now.
Guys, welcome back. Good to see
you. Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Do you even remember playing Acoustic Christmas, or are you in the mode of you've done 5,000 shows since then, and it's just a blur?
Oh my goodness! It was a blur. It was amazing. I mean, I remember meeting Brandon Boyd in the hallway, and then the rest is black.
And then you just don't. You passed out.
Yeah,
he didn't Bill Cosby. You did he?
Oh my goodness! I hope he did.
Did that go south too quickly?
Wow! You just mean that he's so dreamy that you didn't look at the rest of the world the same after that, right?
Exactly.
Like all you can think about is his piercing eyes.
Yeah, everything else is just a poem.
I understand. Well, Walk the Moon is in town for big doings. They are sold out tonight at the Palladium. They are sold out at the House of Blues in Anaheim tomorrow night. They have the number one rock song in America right now, by the way, with Shut Up and Dance. When did the new album, Talking Is Hard, when did that come out? How long has that been out, you guys?
It came out beginning of December.
Oh, okay. So still relatively new. And Kevin, has there ever been an album more appropriately named for you than Talking Is Hard?
Yeah, I should make that my autobiography.
What's that? I know some people are loath to describe titles and how they come up with it, but that's such a fascinating one. Why is Talking Hard, guys?
Talking Is Hard is kind of a mantra for us for, everybody is forced to use these imperfect mouths, brains all day long, and talking is hard, and so it's about getting over it and communicating better, being better, expressing what you feel, not being afraid.
I don't understand anything you're saying right now. I wish I did.
Do you guys use music to communicate something that you're trying to get out to people, or do you just look for words that sound pretty together?
Absolutely. We've had such an amazing experience with the audience the last 4 or 5 years, and we really wanted to empower people with this record. We really wanted to make people feel powerful to be themselves, stand up for what they think is right.
Do you guys start with lyrics, something you like? Do you start with hook, just playing music?
It's really different every time.
Every song is different?
Yeah. A lot of times it'll be a jam in rehearsal, and I'll take it home and write a bunch of lyrics and come back and we'll have a song. Or other times Eli comes in with a crazy loop on his computer and we all go nuts on that. Or, it's really quite different every time.
Have you had something that you love but you just can't get it finished? Like,
absolutely.
This is awesome.
Sure.
We need to do something with this, but we can't figure out what to do with it.
Sure. That's about 40 songs that didn't make the record.
Yeah.
This is the band Walk the Moon in studio. They're going to be performing live for us here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so fascinated with the process of songwriting. I think that's one of the reasons, like, I love the show Nashville, for instance, is because a guy or two guys or a guy and a girl walk into a room and they come out 6 hours later and they've created something that may last forever. I'm so fascinated with that process. None of your songs will last forever, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is...
Wow! What I'm saying is, hey, Dick!
It's funny!
The inspiration is so fascinating to me, and you've got a great story about Shut Up and Dance, which I know you're going to be performing here, about how somebody kind of helped you with that. Is that right, Nicholas? Mm-hmm.
Helped me as in real life, inspired it?
Yeah, in real life, the girl who said to you, shut up and dance. I just think that's such an awesome, like, lightning strikes moment.
Yeah, she was wearing a backless dress and some beat-up sneaks, and I was being a butt. She got me out of my butthead and onto the dance floor.
She literally said to you, shut up and dance. And why did that connect with you so much, you think?
I don't know. I mean, we were out here in L.A. just trying to write songs, just trying to write as much as we possibly could. And so my brain was already, my head was already in that space, like just trying to sponge up inspiration wherever I went. And it was kind of a moment to get out of the studio and just like, oh, I'm just going to let loose. And that ended up being the very thing that put me back in the studio.
When you're trying to finish songs or look for inspirations or hooks, are you just like every song you hear, you think of those lyrics, and every commercial you watch on TV, you go, oh, Nationwide is on your side. Can I use that? I mean, are you just like scrambling, looking for things that you can turn into music?
The most inspiring thing I found is just really amazing, like really great music. There's so much stuff that's just kind of fluff and noise, and whether it's a commercial or a song you don't like on the radio, but when something is really quality and really comes from the heart, that's when I'm just like, oh, I need to go write right now, you know?
Does that happen a lot?
Or
do you're able to put yourself in the position where I need to write stuff in the next so often?
I mean, it's not as easy as just flipping a switch, but we've definitely learned to work when we have the time, because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because we're often just out on the road.
Yeah.
Your live shows were legendary. You know, even before we met you guys, we had heard how great you guys were on the road. Are you? Is
Can
it
we
still,
quote you on that?
Sure. Is it still like super fun? And do you still feel so much like it's 50% audience and 50% walk the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we really feel like the live show is the heart of what we do in Walk the Moon. So it's really important to us to kind of preserve this thing that we've built, both together, the four of us, and with, you know, audiences all across the world.
The world!
Really, yeah.
Whoa.
You know, and so everything we do, kind of from the songwriting to the production to how we're going to arrange the songs to play them live, it's all thinking about the interaction with the audience and the live performance.
Yeah. How are you feeling, you know, looking at the sold-out Palladium tonight, sold-out House of Blues Anaheim tomorrow, how are you feeling about moving to bigger venues? Is that something that scares you, or you look forward to?
Because
awesome. You've got to do it. Yeah. At this point, there's no question. You're selling out everywhere. You got
to
start.
We refuse to play anywhere bigger than 200 people.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, we were just in the UK playing in arenas opening for Yumi at Six and All Time Low, who are really big over there. And I think having played a few of those arena shows now, it's about making the biggest show feel just the same as the intimate show. You know, it's about
that's super difficult. A lot of bands have trouble with that.
Yeah, you gotta bring it to that dude in the back with his arms crossed. You know, got to bring it hard into his
maybe not into his face.
Maybe
lots of that.
It's about music. It's not about penises.
Right. Yeah. Really got to be careful if you have your arms crossed.
Yeah. And on that note,
you got to get a big load of Walk the Moon.
The Talking Is Hard tour is ongoing. Congratulations. If somebody listening was lucky enough to get tickets to these sold-out shows, I hope you guys will be coming back. And we're going to walk you down to the Red Bull Sound Space, and you're going to be doing a couple of numbers live for us this morning. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys. Congratulations on the number one record.
Yay.
Walk the Moon, you guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you so, so much.
It's always so much fun on the Kevin and Bean Show when we are visited by big-time rock and roll stars. Walk the Moon is here. Talking Is Hard is the tour. It's sold out at the Palladium tonight and the House of Blues in Anaheim tomorrow night. And they are right now in the Red Bull Sound Space with my man Kevin and about what? About 10 other people they're performing for here today?
Maybe 6.
It's like 7, 8, 9.
7. Yeah. Probably pretty small for you guys, but all right.
We had to put a barricade in to keep you away from
it. Yes, exactly, because I'm dangerous. Live music, Walk the Moon, what are you going to do?
We're going to play a song called Anna Sun.
Familiar with it?
Question
yes.
mark?
Screen falling off the door hanging off the hinges. My feet are still sore, my back's on the fringes. We tore up the walls, we slept on couches. We lifted this house, we lifted this house. Firecrackers in the east, my car parked south. Your hands on my cheeks, your shoulder in my mouth. I was up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town, we rattle this scene. Oh, still sore, my back's on the fringes. We were up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town, we rattle this scene. Oh, Anaheim. Oh, afterthought. Station wagon rides, fumbling around the back. Well, not one seatbelt on. Wait for summertime. Coming up for air. Now it's all a wash. Well, now it's all a wash. Live my life without. Coming up for air. Now it's all a wash. Well, I want everyone racing down the hill. Oh, I am faster than you. Wait for summertime. Why don't you wait for summertime? Oh, and the sun.
How good was that?
That was the best drumming on a pizza box I think I've ever seen.
Wow, thanks.
What the hell's with the pizza box? Ask Sean what he's doing there.
You're actually drumming on a pizza box.
I'm just hungry, that's all.
Could you literally just grab anything and drum on it?
I mean, I try.
He certainly does all day long on the bus.
Every moment.
Yeah, drummers are annoying when they're not playing in on stage. That's for sure. We know that about drummers.
I thought everybody liked what I was doing.
Well, that
he's
sounded
not annoying.
Cool.
He's just creative.
That sounded awesome, you guys. That's the band Walk the Moon performing for us here on the Kevin Abine Show on K-Rock. We got time for another one in the Red Bull Sound Space. How about America's number one rock song? Could we hear some of that, guys?
Hell yeah! Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up. Dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night, the chemical, physical, kryptonite. Help us to the face and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Oh, that lip dress and some beat up sneaks. My discotheque, Juliet, teenage dream. I felt it in my chest as she looked at me. I knew we were bound to be together, bound to be together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Oh, come on, girl. She said, Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance. Don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me.
Nailed it right there, you guys. I'm the only one applauding, but seriously, that was awesome.
These six people in the Red Bull sound space are also applauding.
Enjoyed the hell out of that. Thank you, that is the band Walk the Moon. We are always grateful for their time here on the Kevin and Bean Show and on K-Rock in general. Thanks, guys. Have fun while you're in town this week. We'll see you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Yep.
Like, what? I was thinking. I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking.
Ralph just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
That was a sweet moment.
I don't know that we need to keep playing that one. Yep. I feel like that one's been
pretty
done.
Sweet. Yep.
Play that every day.
Ralph is falling off the chair, and Allie is making a sound that is almost imperceptible. It's so high.
It's like a seal in distress. It is. What it is.
Pretty much.
How good was Walk the Moon, people?
They were moonlicious.
They were great.
Moonlicious.
They were moonlicious.
All right.
Our friend, fantastic. Jim Rome from the AM radio is going to be joining us just after 8 o'clock to catch us up
legends.
With what's
legends
going
of the
on
market.
The
happy to be here. Always NFL talking about news. NFL with you.
And what it's like to have a horse that just won $1 million race over the
My
weekend.
My new horse, so we'll Blurred Lines,
coming up.
New running, co-owned by the Gays.
First, though, you mean the estate of Marvin Gaye is what you mean, right?
The Gays. Right. What I said.
First, though, Robert, here with the show.
Nothing wrong
Thursday.
With it.
What's going
wrong
on?
With being gay? I'm gay myself. I love Marvin Gaye. Love all the gays.
Okay.
My new horse, Blurred Lines.
Like
the Preakness. Now I'm done. Can I sit in on that?
Can you what?
Can I sit in
of
with
course.
You guys in Jim
Certainly,
Rome?
Anytime. Of course.
Because
you got some questions about the Eagles.
With,
sure.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up a stiff upper lip and being a good company man and all, but what the f's going on, Chip?
I had so many problems with chips.
A lot of chips today. Chip the goat. Chip Kelly. Chip the midget. We got all the chip problems.
I saw tweets from God. You know that very funny Twitter
yes,
site.
Yes, I love
from
him.
God. He tweeted this week. He's like, look, I'm omniscient, and even I don't know what's going on with the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Chip is a madman. He's run amok.
Yeah, he's doing it his own way, that's for sure. Not following a lot of conventional wisdom, shall we say.
No, he is not. All right, let's talk about show business news. Speaking of the Gays, Marvin Gaye's family won a $7.3 million copyright infringement case against Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams on Tuesday. But the Gaye family still wants more. And I think it was perhaps Allie who brought up this question when you guys were talking to that reporter from the LA Weekly about how will they split up the proceeds moving forward from here. And that's what the Gaye family wants to know. RollingStone.com reports that their attorney, Richard Bush. Oh, I love when the Gays and the Bush get together.
Come on.
I love when Bush and the Gays are all on the same side. He wants all sales of Blurred Lines to stop.
Oh, interesting.
He wants an injunction placed on the sales of that song until an agreement is in place on how all future earnings of the song will be split up.
Hang on, let me make a note. Download video.
So far, no injunction preventing the song or the video from being sold or downloaded has been filed with the court, but that apparently is the plan, so it may go away for a while until they figure out who gets the nickels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You have nothing to say about this stuff? Hey, our buddy Jimmy Kimmel's running in some pretty special circles these days. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but President Obama will appear on Jimmy's show tonight. Just the President of the United States.
That's all. Jimmy's old friend, Barack.
Stopping by to chat up Jimmy. Jimmy and Barry. Just Jimmy and Barry having a conversation.
Is he known as Barry?
To his friends.
Sure.
Yeah. He's stabbing people. Running around stabbing people. Oh, I thought he was Screech.
He's been on the Kimmel program before, of course, and Jimmy hosted the White House Correspondents' Dinner a couple of years ago and spent some time with the Obamas, so I guess they're pretty tight at this point.
You may be happy to hear that there's no danger of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West procreating again anytime soon.
Okay, how? Why?
Kim has announced they are taking a break from trying to conceive another child because it's simply too much stress.
Too much stress.
Because they're trying to conceive and they can't. She's very upset about that. She complained on Keeping Up the Kardashians that she and Kanye are doing the deed 500 times a day.
Oh.
Ha, 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 but I just can't get pregnant. Ha, 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 ha. So, they're taking a break.
Well, from what I understand, Ralph, and you may know more about this than I do, a lot of times when you quit trying to have a kid and just relax a little bit, sometimes that's when it happens, right?
Yeah.
That's when you get pregnant.
Yeah. Well, then they should keep trying that. Whatever it takes for them not to get pregnant again, that's what I'm
advocating. Yeah, I think that's probably wise.
Speaking of sex, Florence Henderson likes to get her freak on. Ooh. Yeah, Mrs. Brady. 81-year-old Mrs. Brady did an interview this week where she said she still likes to get nasty.
This is Kevin's worst nightmare, an old person having sex.
She's got a little piece of side action going on in Florida, she says. Two of them are longtime friends, and they just hook up for booty calls now and then. No relationship, just knocking it out, Kevin. Just 81-year-old Mrs. Brady just knocking it out. Probably in Alice's room, right off the kitchen there. Yeah. Yeah, Carol Brady.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. I
like to watch Kevin squirm.
How dare you?
And what do you do? I thought of this because I thought Brady Bunch, thought Mrs. Brady. And then I thought Brady Bunch House, which is in my neighborhood. You can drive by the Brady Bunch House in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. The outside of it, at least. You can't go inside, you know, have pork chops and applesauce or anything, but you can see it from the...
Pork chops and applesauce.
But the people who own, excuse me, the people who own Walter White's house from Breaking Bad are not enjoying their lives these days. The woman and her husband who live in the Albuquerque, New Mexico house, which was used as the exterior for methamphetamine dealer Walter White for his house, they are ticked off because fans of the show keep showing up, first of all, and then, more importantly, keep tossing pizzas up on their roof.
Sure.
Just like Walter did. In one of the season 3 episodes, they are they're fed up with people stopping to take pictures in front of the house, but they're tired of dealing with pizzas on their roof. So if you go there to visit them, don't throw any pizzas up on their roof.
It's a good tip, I think. So if somebody came by your house today, Kevin or Ralph or Allie, and said, "Hey, we'd like to use the exterior of your house as the establishing shots on a television show. We'll pay you for it." Would you do it?
Sure.
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 Because the odds of it becoming iconic like that and becoming a tourist trap are very slim. I mean, how many houses really do people look for?
And how many of those are they throwing pizza on?
Right.
Really, just that one.
So just
Kevin would do it
check.
Just in hopes of the pizza.
That's right. Kevin would sit on the roof with a napkin just waiting.
Best case scenario. This is
my best deal ever. I'll have pizza for life. I'm going to hope they run an episode where somebody eats ice cream.
And the reason I asked that question is because you're talking about how ticked off these people are who own this home in Albuquerque, but they also open themselves up for it by agreeing to use their house on TV, right?
But I don't think you think when you do that that it's going to come back and bite you like
what
that. Because it doesn't, really. You got the Brady house. I know the full house. We talked about the full house.
That's right.
In San Francisco. Yeah. They get a lot of tourism. I know Wayne Manor in Pasadena, where from the Batman TV series, that gets a lot of tourism. But I can't think there's too many homes like that that really have to worry about it.
Right.
Speaking of classic old television shows, great email here from listener Jared West. I want to thank him for writing in about this. He said, "I was able to take a tour of the ABC studio video vault recently. They let me see a lost episode of Happy Days that never aired. It was a more serious topic, touching on the subject of drug use. Scott Baio's character is caught by the Fonz smoking marijuana. Fonzie tells him to stop, but Chachi's very belligerent, and Fonzie ends up punching Chachi. So, yes, I saw Fonzie beat up Chachi.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I saw Fonzie beat up Chachi. I saw Fonzie beat up Chachi. I saw Fonzie beat up Chachi.
It's not okay,
Jared. Thank you,
Jared.
It
has to stop.
That was great, Jared West. I appreciate that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli's 69 years old today. Taylor, nope, James Taylor, 67 years old. Ron Jeremy, the hedgehog, is 62. Aaron Eckhart turns 47 years old. Graham Coxon from Blur is 46 years old. Sam Levine, very talented and funny young man, is 33 years old. Jamie Alexander, Lady Sif from Thor, is 31. Hey, I want to remind folks, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose once again, bringing it back to the stage there on good old Improv. Come on, see us, won't you? Go to improv.com to get your tickets and to get more details. See me and Kevin Smith in Hollywood Babylon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Biz B.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I so look forward to this weekly visit with our friend Jim Rome. He is the host of the Jim Rome Show 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast in Southern California. Also the Jim Rome Show on the CBS Sports Network every afternoon at 3. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime throughout the month. Hey, Mr. Rome, how you feeling today, dude?
Good morning, dudes. What's going on?
What's going on is we are counting on you as a sports professional to talk our friend Ralph Garman back from the brink. We are worried that he is starting to place razor blades strategically on his desk if he doesn't get some answers about what his Eagles are doing with the free agency.
I'm losing my mind, Jim. What? Chip Kelly's running amok.
Bro, if I were you, I'd just cut yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's not quite the advice I'm looking for.
Hey, look, I would say it's actually getting better. If you had asked me, Ralph, a day earlier, you know, exactly what is this guy doing, I would have said to you, I have no idea. I mean, this guy, he's breaking star players off. He's making wacky trades. And then he looks around the room like, what? What? You guys got a brass set. But the plan is starting to become more apparent. DeMarco Murray apparently is on his way to Philadelphia.
Yes.
I'm not saying this was the guy's idea all along, but if he can get him signed, it's going to look a lot better now than it did a day ago. But the bottom line is, until he's done, I don't know what this guy's doing, and I don't think anybody else does either.
Because Murray is not exactly a sturdy player either. He's been pretty fragile in the past, and Bradford's made out of glass, and it just seems like he's getting breaking, as you mentioned, breaking off stars and bringing in guys who have dubious histories with the injury report.
Hey, look, you know what this guy's saying. What he's saying is, I've got a system, and the system is the thing. It's not the guys in the system. I'm the smartest guy in the room. I can plug anybody into that system, and we'll win. Eagle fans better hope the guy is that smart. The thing about Murray is, he's not the most durable guy, but he is coming off a year where he was the NFL's leading rusher, the offensive player of the year. I mean, it looks a lot better than trying to plug in some scrub we've never heard of. But again, that's not done. It's supposedly going to happen, but we thought Frank Gore was going there too. So until it's done, I'm going to reserve judgment, but I mean, this guy's out there now. He's out there.
They got Ryan Matthews from San Diego. They got Polk still on the roster.
Not done, right? Even Matthews is not done. See, that's right. What I mean. It's like Matthews is there, but it's not done. He's got Sproles. We know he's there. And this whole thing about Sam Bradford. I mean, this is the same head coach who said that Nick Foles would be his quarterback for the next 1,000 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that or the next 6 months. How do you sour on that guy that quickly?
Now, let me ask you guys this. And I like Coach Kelly a lot, too. I think he seems like a smart guy. I think he did a lot with not a lot of talent last year. No offense, Ralph. But the team didn't make the playoffs. It's not like this is Bill Belichick telling us, trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Well, they made it his first
season.
Exactly
right.
They made it, but they didn't make last season, largely, I think, because of the
quarterback injuries.
The questionable play of Mark Sanchez, who, thank God, is coming back again. I'm glad they re-signed him.
but that's the thing, though, right? I mean, what he's saying is it doesn't matter who I plug in, we're going to win.
And yeah, but it does matter.
We all saw
that.
Game yet. Of course it matters, man. Of course it matters. But he doesn't give a damn what you think or what I think because he's the smartest guy in the room. So, no, he hasn't won a playoff game yet. He just took a wrecking ball to this thing. So he better be that smart and he better know what he's doing or you'll be tripping and the Eagle fans already are.
How right? many games does he get next season if things go south?
He's got to get to the playoffs, and he has to win in the playoffs. It's not good enough just to get there. It's not good enough to win 10 games. I mean, essentially, the guy's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. But then again, if it doesn't work out, what happens? The guy bounces back to the college game,
yeah.
Gets the job of his choice, and still gets paid, and Ralph and Eagle fans left holding the bag.
No, really, we're standing in rubble. I mean, Howie Roseman's looking around, and
seriously.
Chip will be gone, and everybody will say, what the hell just happened to our team?
And he'll be laughing. He'll be laughing. He'll be gone. He'll get paid.
Yeah.
Let's look around the league for a minute, and I know it seems weird for non-sports fans that we are talking about football, but this is a very significant week with NFL free agency. Who would you say is the big winner this week?
I can't say about NFL free agency. The first 5 minutes of NFL free agency was better than the first 5 months of any baseball season. So it's not that weird.
That's
you know
so
what I mean?
True.
So and true. I like baseball. I'm not here to hate on baseball, but it was so much better.
Yeah, it really
you
is.
The big winner to me is Seattle. It's Seattle.
That's
Bean,
why
you got to be pumped. They get Jimmy Graham.
It's
not
he
why
knew.
I asked.
They
yes,
get, you knew
I wasn't
that was
assuming,
the answer.
But Jimmy Smart Graham dude. Certainly looked like a great choice, right?
And he's I mean, super I know this, stoked
man,
to be
don't
there.
Ask, do not answer the question. Ask the question if you don't know the answer. He's smart like that, Bean. Yeah. Now, why do you think he's been around so long?
What do you think's going to happen it's with awesome. My Seattle Seahawks?
I think the Colts are having a pretty good offseason as well.
They are. The only concern about that is when you take a bunch of 30-something guys and throw them together and expect that thing to mesh. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But they've had a good offseason. But Seattle's the best. I mean, Jimmy Graham, that is such a big swing. These guys come up one play short of winning the Super Bowl, and that's their response by pulling that stud out of New Orleans. This guy, Russell Wilson's never had a legitimate go-to receiver, and this guy is a super freak. They're far and away the big winners, and they are the team to beat right now.
Did you see his Twitter when he was traded?
I did. He was just traded.
It just said traded in his
traded,
bio. Yeah.
It just said traded.
I don't think he's loving this. I don't think he's super happy.
That's not the most enthusiastic endorsement. Look, I get he's been playing in New Orleans for a long time, and he's got fans there, and he's got friends there and stuff. But I don't say this because I'm a Seahawks fan. But what player doesn't want to get traded to the Seahawks at this point with the track record that they have over the past three seasons?
Spoken like a true Seahawk honk.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you want to play anywhere else? 12th
yep.
man. Now, look, the guy, he think he's got it bad. He may suck for him, but not as much as it does for Drew Brees, who's now stuck without Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Look, it's business. These guys know this. Nobody stays anywhere forever in the NFL. He'll get there. He'll get over it. They'll love him. He'll get the ball. He'll win a ring. He'll be fine.
All right. We covered Ralph's team. We covered my team. How's it looking for Ali's Patriots? How's their week been?
I'm not worried.
In your estimation, Joe. Because they certainly have lost some big names and had some retirement, too.
That's what they do. The thing that hurts them most of all is not what they did or what they didn't do. It's that everybody else in the division got better. But that said, they're all looking up in New England. New England is still the team to beat in that division. It doesn't matter what the Jets do. They don't have a quarterback. Miami adds Ndamukong Suh, so they're better. So it's not so much what they did or didn't do. It's what everybody else did, and it's still not enough. They're still the team to beat, Ali. You're all good.
Love you, Jim. I've said it for years, but it's
And
true.
Finally, are Kevin's Cardinals still technically in the NFL?
Yeah, I haven't heard a word. I haven't heard a word from them.
They're fine. No, they're good. No, I all love right. the Cards. The Cards are good. They're good.
How many quarterbacks
hey, Kevin,
will
did
they
you
start?
A soccer game?
Oh, that was funny, Jim.
Oh, however many it takes.
I have season tickets to the Galaxy, but I was not there because I had a family thing. But I saw you tweet that you were at the soccer game, and you said still, which made me think Jim's not happy.
Oh, no, still, I mean, I feel like I'm still there right now.
Come on.
The funny thing is I'm on record with this. Now I don't really know how to put this. I hate soccer.
Right.
I've got
sure.
no need for it. I've never liked it. But anyway, my 9-year-old son... You know, I say, what do you want to do for your birthday? A really good kid, never asked for anything. I say, well, do whatever you want, son. He said, I want to go to a soccer game. I said, yeah, no, we're going to Benihana's. He said, no, really, Dad, I want to go to an LA Galaxy game. It's all I want. I said, son, we'll do paintball. Dad, all I want is to go to an LA Galaxy game. So the things parents do, right? I throw down for a suite. I take my son and about 1,000 of his little buddies to last Friday's game, and I stay for the whole game.
Jim, that game
was... You know what? It was not...
Here's what I'm going to tell you. That
was
game
what?
A little better than average. There was a lot of actual scoring chances.
Can I tell you? I don't even know. I didn't even watch it.
Yeah. See? There's your problem.
I have no idea even who won. I don't know what happened in that game. I went to the suite that I threw down for. Made myself an adult beverage or two.
You're lying.
And
Jim
I tweeted a couple
lying.
Of pictures.
You're lying.
Oh, no. I have no idea who won that game.
You
did they win or did they lose? Who did they play?
You're a liar. You're a sports
who
radio guy.
I have no idea who won that game.
You're a liar, sir.
But I will tell you this. Good experience. The kids loved it. And I'll never do it again.
Jim, you know, when it comes to soccer, there are no winners, especially the people watching.
Yeah, right? Right? Preach.
Jim,
preach.
Put a soccer exception in next year's, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday, son? All right, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave
I'll
it
see you there next time, Kevin.
All right. Jim will have plenty more to talk about with the NFL and probably not so much with the soccer at 9 today on AM 980 The Beast. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for coming on.
Bam. Peace out.
Hey, quick reminder, we are still looking for you. If you would like to open Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, it's coming up on the 4th of April at the Shrine Auditorium, completely sold out. But if you're funny and you want to be the first person up on the stage with all those other professional comedians, we want you to go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and upload your video and tell us a little bit about yourself. We're getting some
really impressive entries, I think, so far.
Yeah, we assume...
A lot of funny people out there.
We assume that what happens normally would happen again, which is that all of the bad ones enter early, and then the good ones kind of come late. We've actually had some really good ones. We're surprised. Very happy about that.
Close of the show next Friday is going to be your deadline to get your entry in if you'd like to open April Foolishness. A couple of weeks ago, maybe beginning of last week, we were talking about Curt Schilling, Hall of Fame pitcher, won World Series, I believe, with the Red Sox, didn't he, Allie, among other teams?
2004, the Bloody Sox.
That's right. He also for the with the Diamondbacks, he pitched in the World Series for the Phillies. Great pitcher. Retired now, back in the news because he went on a rampage against some internet bullies who had tweeted some awful things about his 17-year-old daughter. And in the course of that story, I found out something that I did not know about the great Curt Schilling, and that's that his middle name is Montague.
Montague.
Now, that was a surprise to me. I've certainly heard that name before, as we all have, who had to read Romeo and Juliet in college. But Montague, as a middle name, I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I started thinking about the people that I know who have had kids and how hard it is to come up with a name that parents agree on. And that a lot of times the name that one of them wants doesn't end up being the kid's name. It ends up being relegated to the middle name. And a lot of times middle names are used to make the grandparents happy because there's a family name that they want somehow included in the kid's name. And therefore, I submit to you that middle names are the dumping grounds of names.
That's very true.
And I thought it might be fun. And just asking around the office here, we found out there's some unusual middle names with our group. But I thought it might be fun to hear from our listeners who have strange, unusual, or terrible middle names. Like, you don't ever even want to tell people what your middle name is. It's that bad. Or there's too much explaining to do if you do. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your middle name. What did we discover here in the office, Kevin?
Well, Beer Mug spoke up immediately, and that's his nickname because he has a tattoo of a beer mug on the top of his foot. Okay? His real name is Jonathan, but he says that his middle name is Lit.
L-I-T-T.
I believe it's T. Is it two T's?
Two T's.
Okay. I think it is two
Lit.
T's, yes.
Yeah. Lit. Is his name.
Family name?
I think it's his mother's maiden.
Yep. That's what it was.
Omar's in here. What's your middle name?
And mine's all honked up, too. And I'm half Pakistani, and it's Middle Eastern tradition that the firstborn has to carry the father's first name as his middle name. So that's where my middle name is my father's first name.
Okay.
Oh, I see. And it's R-A-Z-A-U-L, and it's pronounced
Rasul. Rasul.
Rasul. That's how it's pronounced.
Do you think the name Omar has become very popular in America over the past 25 years? But do you think the Rasul is what gets you on all the no-fly lists?
He is on a lot of
them. Well, it's either that or that Omar Khan is a name of one of the 9/11 people that hijacked one of the planes.
It was one of the terrorists.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not ideal.
So it's one
not
or the other.
Ideal.
Yeah.
So is that difficult for you? Like, do you just try to stay away from having to use your middle name when at all possible?
Yeah, definitely. It's always Omar R. Khan, you know?
We should call you Deja Rasul. I'd love it.
Well, you're the biggest Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah. I did a little bit of research before we go to your calls again at 1-800-520-1067 about some stars who have some unusual middle names. This gives you, I think, some great examples of the kind of names we're talking about. Richard Gere, for instance. Dreamy. Famous movie star for decades, right? Richard
Gere. Right.
A manly man.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say dreamy.
His middle name is Tiffany.
No.
Tiffany. His middle name is Tiffany.
Is that like parents thought didn't know, so they just named them both? What? That doesn't make sense.
I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think that was a family name. Tiffany was in honor of a grandmother or somebody like that. And they gave him a middle name of Tiffany. Hugh Grant, very popular British actor Hugh Grant. His middle name is Mungo.
M-U-N-G-O.
Yes, Mungo.
Okay.
Quincy Jones, music legend. His middle name is Delight.
Oh, I want that middle name.
That makes so much sense, though, right?
I want Delight. Can I use it or does he have it trademarked? I don't know.
Courtney Cox, Friends actress. Her middle name is Bass. That should have been your middle name, DJ Omar Khan.
Bass.
Yeah, Bass. No
Bass.
Trouble.
Rasul.
Family name. Uma Thurman. She's a crazy Buddhist family lady. Her middle name is Karuna. Karuna.
But
and one more. Karuna. You know the pop singer Ciara. Her real last name is Harris, Ciara Harris. Her middle name is Princess.
Okay.
Huh. All right. So you got a little girl.
And she's your princess. Mm-hmm. So that's the middle name. So that's a couple of examples of unusual middle names that we're looking for. Let's take a couple before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with David? He's in Ontario. He's on line 5 to get us going. Hey, David.
What's going on, guys? Yeah. This is Santa Monica.
Oh. Yeah! Oh, I love that guy.
It's impossible for us to summarize why we love him so much. So we're just going to have to move on.
Let's go to John in Redland.
That's the best. Just made my whole weekend. Hey, John.
Nope.
Hold on, Christian. That's the wrong line.
What's happening now?
Come on, Kev Dog.
How dare you? I'm not Kev Dog. Somebody else picked it up. Bean, I can't. Muggs is on the other line. Lit is on the other line in the other room.
Why don't we just cut our losses, get our ducks in a row, and take your calls when we return. 1-800-520-1067. Crazy, unusual, strange, and awful middle names. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Talking about the dumping ground that is your middle name at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of crazy ones out there, and a lot of people weighing in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and on our Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. Rosie writes in, my son's middle name is Memphis. He was named after Nicolas Cage's character in Gone in 60 Seconds. Memphis. Liz writes in, I'm ashamed to tell people my daughter's middle name. My husband got to choose. He named it after his favorite band. Her middle name is Rage.
Yeah!
Sweet.
I kind of like
her
that.
Her middle name is Rage.
Yeah, that puts you on notice.
I have three friends who named, middle named, if you will, their kids Danger. So Danger
Danger's
is their middle name.
Yeah.
Jeez,
that's a good one. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, we tried to get Christian on before. We didn't quite have him, but now he's available on line 7. Let's see what's going on in his family. Hey, Christian.
Hey there.
Middle name?
Granville.
Granville?
Granville.
It was a great grandfather's name. I guess they used to call him Grant because I guess he didn't like it either.
Good.
I think it's prestigious.
And my brother's middle name is Halgard. I guess it was a misspelling. I guess it was supposed to be Harold, and the hospital misspelled it, and it was never corrected.
Halgard.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones name.
Yep.
I love that it's a mistake, and they just went, F it.
Yeah.
Let's keep Halgard.
All right, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Malone on line 5. That's his first name in Venice. Hey, Malone, were you actually named after Carl Malone?
I was actually named after Carl Malone.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How about that? You like shooting squirrels?
It's amazing. I do.
All right. So you saw what your parents did to you. What did you do to your kid when you got to name?
So, yeah, my mom was obsessed with Carl Malone. Well, I'm obsessed with philosophy, especially medieval philosophy. I named my middle name of my son's name is Tozer.
Did you say Tozer?
Aquinas. His first name is Tozer. We use both names as a dumping ground for our son.
We're going to need a whole nother show for you.
Tozer. Seriously. Aquinas. Spell
that first Tozer name for Aquinas. Me, please, Malone. Spell the first name.
T-O-Z-E-R.
Take me to church, right? Same guy?
No. That's Tozer. Nice. Wow. And then you gave him Aquinas as his middle name. So even if he hates his first name, which he clearly does, he can't even sub out and use his middle name.
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
Were you really just mailing it in at that point? It's the mailman, Malone. What?
Yep.
You didn't mean that.
I gave him one out.
What do you mean you gave him an out?
His initials are T-A-D. So if all else fails, he could go by Tad.
You know what you should just do is give him a decent name in any of the positions.
Look, in Malone's favor, though, he's had to live as a Malone.
Yeah, so who should know better?
Yeah, I guess that's true. He's felt the pain. Thank you for the call, Malone. Appreciate that so much. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Mark. He's on line 1, San Bernardino. Now, Kevin, before we hear from Mark, you're calling BS on him,
right? I'm calling BS. There's no way because
all right, let's see what he says.
There's just no way. Hey, Mark.
This is not BS. One of my buddies from grade school, he goes by Ray, and I swear if he's listening right now, he's going to kill me later.
Good.
But his father named him after his two favorite football teams in the early 90s. And this is the early 90s. He doesn't even go for these guys anymore.
Okay.
His first and middle name are Raider Ram.
Wow. Oh.
That's the initial V, the Nueva. Oops, I shouldn't have given his name out.
Yep. It's done now.
First name Raider, middle name Ram. So how did the family feel when both teams moved away shortly after this kid got the name?
Kicked him out?
Well, I don't know how his family felt. I know he wasn't too fond of it, which is why he's been trying, ever since grade school, tried to force people to call him Ray.
Call him Ray, right.
I was actually spelling his name R-A-I to go by Ray.
Come on. R-A-I. That's nonsense.
I believe Mark, Kevin. How about you now that you've talked to him?
I do, too. But it's a terrible job by the parents of names.
That's a tough name.
God's sakes, people.
All right, let's blow through a couple more. Let's go to Megan. You're Belinda, line four, please, talking about crazy middle names on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Megan. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. It's Yager.
Yager? Like
Yaramir?
Yeah, hockey? Like the hockey player.
Yes. Nice. All right.
No, I don't know about nice.
Oh, wait, it's your middle name?
No, it's my son's.
Oh, I don't. What's his first name?
Anthony
Yaramir.
No, Yager.
Yager.
It's Yager. It's actually his last name.
I don't listen, yeah. Megan.
All right. Good work.
I bet there are a lot of kids who are named after sports stars. A lot of them.
I guess,
a favorite team? Got a favorite star? Why not? Right.
And let's go to Ozzy in Pico Rivera. Hi, Ozzy.
Hey, what's going on?
Your middle name?
Aristotle.
Ooh, I like that.
Ozzy Aristotle.
Oh, yeah, I barely even learned how to spell it. I never used it because I never knew how to spell it.
Yeah.
There's our man. There's our man.
Go Raiders, go Rams. Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Beer Mug talks to Pac-Man and Floyd about the fight.
We've been waiting for this fight for a long time.
And Freddie Roach.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Beer Mug's an asshole.
You know, we make fun of Mugs when we send him out on the red carpet sometimes as not being able to get access to the big stars. It sounds like he talked to everybody yesterday.
Let's wait and find out.
Okay. All right. New round of Beer Mug red carpet interviews when we return right after the top of the hour. First, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
I mentioned earlier this morning that Will Ferrell is a man possessed. He is going to five different spring training baseball games this morning, and he's going to play for each team in each of those five games. So 10 teams in one day. He's going to play every position for every one of those teams in five games
which
today.
Team has to let him pitch?
They all do.
Oh, I thought he was going to
play
do
every
a different
position.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
On 10 different teams in one day.
All right.
Bean, you have an update?
The update is he has arrived. The first game that you told us about, Ralph, is going to be the Oakland A's versus the Seattle Mariners.
Right.
He is there at the park in Tempe, Arizona.
Right.
He has declined all interviews, screaming as he ran by the press, "I can't talk. I'm in beast mode." So apparently he's taking it very seriously.
That's great.
Bitching.
Okay, starts with the Mariners v. Athletics. Then Then Cubs versus Angels. Reds v. Diamondbacks, Giants against the White Sox, Dodgers against the Padres. It's all happening in one day, five different fields, all in Arizona. One day he's going to play for 10 different teams, every field, every position on the field for 10 different teams. This feat was apparently accomplished by another guy named Bert Campaneris 50 years ago, and so Will is going to best it for an HBO special that he's filming today. So there you go. There's your update.
Couldn't love it anymore.
Speaking of updates, you guys familiar with Anonymous? The hacker group?
Yeah, the
Anonymous?
Hackers. Sure.
They, if you get on their bad side, they will bring you down. They will destroy you.
Yeah.
And they show up in their Guy Fawkes masks and they're like, "We are Anonymous. Hello. Good to see you." Scary as hell. Anonymous is scary. Well, they've got a new victim in their sights.
Uh-oh.
Just released today, a 10-minute video, a very well-produced 10-minute video went out with a creepy message for Kanye West.
Yes.
Apparently Anonymous is unhappy with his behavior. They've had an ass full of his arrogance and his outbursts.
They expect more out of him?
Stealing the spotlight from people who work just as hard as he does. And they have put him in their crosshairs.
But don't they know how awesome he is?
Apparently they didn't get the new single, "I'm Awesome." Here's a little audio from the new video from Anonymous.
"Mr. West, good evening. We are Anonymous. It seems that you just don't know when it is appropriate to blurt out your opinions. This is consistent with you. You always have to steal the moment from others who work equally as hard for their recognition. And you assume and even expect everyone else to be aligned with your personal opinions. You smack other artists in the face if they don't fit within your own personal definition of an artist. You're like a spoiled child in a grown man's body, who is ready to set off a boiling temper tantrum the very moment you don't get all the things you want.
It goes on.
Wow.
And that's the nice thing. That's the nice things they say about him.
Wow.
They go after Kim Kardashian, how she is ruining America, and how can you raise a daughter using your wife's sexuality as a sales tool for your shoes, and just unleashes. It's very entertaining. I recommend you check it out.
That clip made me remember when Kanye used to do good music. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, the video will make you remember everything else about Kanye.
Well, yes. Do they say what they're threatening him with?
They don't per se. They say that they are going to... Kanye keeps saying how he's a renaissance man. He's renaissance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they say, really? You think fashion is going to change the way we look at it? Look at the real renaissance, they're saying, basically. The artists and the authors and the political figures of the real renaissance at the time would change the world with the way they behaved. Some of them died. Some of them went to prison for their beliefs because they spoke the truth. He said, do you really think shoes
and
your wife's oily ass is going to change the world? Stop using the term renaissance man for yourself. They are saying that they are going to unleash a new renaissance on the world later this year, and he will not be part of it. So, when a new renaissance comes, I want to be on their side.
I do, too.
I'm buying my Guy Fawkes mask, and I'm going to, whatever they want, I'm going to be, because that guy terrifies me. I don't want to hear the video. Hello, Mr. Garman. Yes, we've been looking at your work on the radio. Really? Do you think Larry Flint falling out of a wheelchair time and time again is entertaining anyone? I don't want to see that video.
Yeah, same.
Well, you're a goner. I still got a shot.
You don't want to get on their bad
side. I'm just getting up the altitude, maybe, to once.
That's right.
Get off a boat.
Right.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat. What?
Wait, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
Fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
So don't get in the way of my altitude, man.
That's right.
Let me give you something, nice people. How about tickets to the K-Rock screening of the Divergent series Insurgent?
Yay!
The movie looks awesome. Shailene Woodley returns. Who's that? Miles Teller? Boy.
Miles Teller. We have him on tomorrow's show.
He's the best.
Yep.
This movie looks great. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. You, lucky people, will get to see it days before everyone else. If you go to our K-Rock screening at the Pacific Grove, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will be lucky enough to get a pair of passes to attend the K-Rock screening of the Divergent series, Insurgent.
How can you top the first one? I mean, it's ridiculous.
They did,
I mean, I'm speechless about it. I really am.
They topped it. Speaking of things that you need tickets for, Hollywood Babylon. This Friday night, we return, Kevin Smith and I, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and more details. Smith and I will take down a few people.
But not anonymous.
But not anonymous.
You love them.
Kanye. We're going to go after Kanye. Just like you, Anonymous. We're on your side. A quick email before I get to celebrity birthday.
No!
What? Jeff, what? We were talking about famous houses. Remember famous showbiz houses?
Yes.
We talked about the Breaking Bad house. People are throwing pizzas up on the roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Brady Bunch house and everything else. Well, listener Gina Sheridan has an experience with a showbiz house that she wanted to share with
excellent.
Us.
Excellent.
Ralph, speaking of looking for famous houses, I've always been a huge Back to the Future fan. And always wanted to see the locations used in those movies. So when I first moved to L.A., I went on a hunt for as many locations as I could find and found quite a few. While driving around looking for those locations, I was eating appropriate 1985 snacks to get in the mood. So when I found a location after taking a photo, I'd leave the remnants of my snacks on the lawn at the location for the Mr. Fusion device, because we all know that fuels time travel here in 2015.
Come on, I'm calling BS on this already. Come on.
It made me feel like I was helping because I...
Come on.
I left garbage just for Marty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I left garbage just for Marty. I left garbage just for Marty. I left garbage just for Marty. Yeah.
I spoke too soon.
Great.
See? I spoke too soon. That was pretty strong.
Take
pretty
it back
strong.
Now, don't
I take
you?
It back. I take that back.
All right.
That was pretty strong.
Because they would put garbage in the Mr. Fusion, and that's how they powered the time machine. And she was leaving garbage on the lawn
right.
to help out Marty.
Long way to go for that joke.
Yes, but that's okay. why it's so magical. You don't know, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Liza Minnelli, 69 years old today. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Liza Minnelli, man. She's not a good 69. Yeah, she's not a well-preserved 69.
No.
She's a
well,
lot.
She's
a lot of barbiturates and vodka 69.
Yeah, she's abused her body.
Yes. James Taylor, 67. Porn legend Ron Jeremy, the Hedgehog, 62 years old today. Aaron Eckhart, very talented, yummy-looking actor. He's 47 years old. Graham Coxon, Blur guitarist, is 46. Sam Levine, very funny man, very talented. Freaks and Geeks star and many other projects, 33 years old. And Jamie Alexander, Lady Sif from the Thor series. She is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is the most anticipated boxing match of the 21st century, certainly. May 2nd at Las Vegas' MGM Grand Garden Arena. It's finally going to be here. Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. A fight that we've been thinking about for what? The last 5 years or so?
At least, yeah.
Trying to get this thing lined up. It's finally going to happen. They did a media day yesterday at the Nokia Center. And Muggs, you were down there, right?
It was the most incredible, spectacular event that I've ever been a part of.
How come?
Because this is like the first time they've ever rolled out a red carpet a month in advance of a boxing event like this. And it's such a huge match that has so much buzz around it. There was 700 media outlets there.
From all over the world?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And it was incredible. And I got the hard-hitting interviews.
Well, we'll be the judge of that in a minute.
Before we hear the interviews, what did the respective fighters have to say? What's their line?
Well, this fight has been, you know, talked about for, I guess, 5 years back, and how, you know...
Why would you ask him that question?
how Floyd didn't...
So that he could tell me something I already said on the air.
How Floyd didn't want to fight Manny because there was some issues with performance-enhancing drugs and all that, but now they're finally getting together, and they're giving everybody what they want.
Okay, great answer. Who do we have on the red carpet, Kevin?
Well, first we have Beer Mug making sure that the equipment works properly.
It's not a Nintendo cartridge. What are you doing?
Who tests by blowing?
I like to use the blow test.
See that? Check, check, check. Hot mic, hot mic. 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ha ha. Ha ha. Check, 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 check.
How much checking do you have to do to make sure it's set up?
Well, it depends because a lot of the people that I interview are sometimes further back than I'd like them to be, so I'm constantly having to adjust the levels. So
well,
I have to keep checking it.
So I'm not gonna criticize Muggs for taking as much time as it takes to make sure that these interviews stick to the tape, though. We don't want any kind of malfunction when it comes time to talk to these guys.
Which is why it's funny when the president of HBO Sports walks up and starts talking to Muggs.
Ken Hirschman, president of HBO Sports. Ken, is this the
machine what? Died? Machine
yeah.
quit.
Are you kidding me?
The yeah. machine quit.
Turned
what
off.
Happened,
he
Muggs?
He
spent 10 minutes yeah. making sure that it was proper and right.
And, I was
and then he ran out of battery.
And I was in a pool of other media outlets, so I was the first guy up, and I literally stopped everything by this happening.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, don't worry about me, guys. You guys could ask questions.
Yeah,
I was
like, what's happening?
Yeah. Just
is that the guy that was just blowing in the microphone with the blow test?
Did your battery run out?
I don't know what
no,
happened.
No, he said it was first, which means...
I don't know what happened.
He just hit the wrong button.
I think I hit off.
Why can't That's we have wrong. Nice things, Muggs?
Freddie Roach is in the area.
Freddie Roach.
Freddie.
Freddie Roach. Freddie. You think Mayweather's an asshole?
Good question.
Freddie didn't really stop and talk to us, or talk to me, so I just thought I'd shoot him a question out there.
All right.
Yeah.
Good question, though. Nice
It wasn't
effort.
Really a question as much as it was a statement. And then Muggs checked the equipment again. I don't know what's happening and why the blow test works. All right, Bean, what would you say if I told you that Les Moonves, the president of CBS, walked up to Muggs? What
I
would you
hope
want
that,
to happen?
I would want Muggs to pass on that interview.
Correct.
Because it would reflect poorly on the entire Kevin and Bean show if he didn't.
Correct. He's the president of CBS, and we are a CBS-owned radio station. So we want Muggs to shut the F up.
Hey, Les. Right. Beer mug from Kevin and Bean.
Hello.
You're my boss.
How you feel, man?
Hey, Les, can you send down an executive order to tell Kevin and Bean to give me a raise?
Kevin and Bean, this man is doing a phenomenal job, but I know there are budget constraints, so keep it down, right? You know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Muggs, there are times when we want you to not speak.
Was that one of them?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty safe bet. Michael Buffer, the announcer.
Michael, K-Rock Los Angeles. Yeah. Michael Buffer. K-Rock LA.
Good to see you.
We got a good to see you.
Didn't want to talk to me.
What happened there? He said good to see you.
Didn't want to talk. Didn't want to stop and talk.
Shined you.
Yeah. The Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy shined me.
All right. What would you say if I told you that Muggs was standing in front of Floyd Money Mayweather?
All right. Now we're getting into the A-level interviews. I'm excited.
Somebody explain to me how this is question one.
Floyd, hey, Money.
Come on, Floyd, come on. Cool, closer.
Hey, Money, who you taking tomorrow, the Lakers or the Knicks?
How does that question happen?
Well, see, because
I know he's a gambler.
Yes,
I get it.
And
get...
I've been coming on some hard times,
right?
So I thought I'd get some advice from Floyd.
I think that's a great question because it appeals to the interviewee's interests.
Thank you,
Bean. He puts millions of dollars down on NBA fights. And
how's
I think
that your first
or
question?
NBA games?
NBA games, right? Sorry, yes. I think he would be excited to talk about something that's not the same old thing that everybody else is asking him. I support that.
He's just trying to make nice, though. Listen.
Floyd, hey, Money.
Floyd, come on. Cool, closer.
Hey, Money, who you taking tomorrow, the Lakers or the Knicks?
I didn't know they was playing tomorrow. You know, that's a game I wouldn't be betting on. But, I like the Lakers. Okay. I like the Knicks.
Okay.
And I like the Clippers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's my hard-hitting interview with Money Mayweather right there.
Okay. Do you think that it was added to, that the interview was added to by you going, yeah?
I was excited, Kevin. That was natural reaction right there.
All right. This is my favorite. This is Muggs in front of Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao. And Muggs, how many people were around you in the area?
I was literally getting rabbit punched by microphones behind me because people were trying, because this was the end of the carpet. We're at the end of the carpet and they're wrapping it up. So people are trying to get an interview with him. Pac-Man, is this the hardest training regimen you've done for this fight?
Hardest training.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's awesome. Anybody else got a question?
Chance to interview Pac-Man, and
he has
one question.
And
then he turns around to everybody else there. Go, anybody else?
That was very giving.
You've got the star in front of you, ready, willing, and able to answer additional questions, but you had already shot your wad.
Well, not really necessarily shot my wad. I just wanted everybody to get some sound bites, you know, because everybody they were rushing.
That's
them.
Not your job.
Oh.
Your job is to interview him. Okay, so. So now Muggs runs out of questions and asks if anybody else has a question. Now, wait for how long it takes before Muggs goes, hey, I'm supposed to be interviewing him. I should jump back in.
Pac-Man, is this the hardest training regimen you've done for this fight?
Hardest training.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's awesome. Anybody else got a question?
Many sometimes when we touch,
the honesty too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide.
All right, I'm sure all of you know he loves to do karaoke.
Right.
He sings
right.
this song. He
famously recorded that song. Was that Vic the Brit?
That was Vic the Brit.
It was.
Feel you.
Yep. So now they're singing, and Muggs is going, hey, I only got one question, and I should ask another one.
Is that your entrance song when you'll be going back to that ballad?
Manny, I'm a drummer if you need a drummer.
Okay.
So that's his second question?
So when you have Floyd Mayweather in front of you, you want to talk about how you can make money off of betting on the NBA. When you have Manny Pacquiao in front of you, you want to talk about how you can drum for him.
See, it's not all about them. It's all about me. Manny, I'm a drummer if you need a drummer.
Continues.
Okay. Fighting for the Filipino people and, of course, to glorify the name of the Lord.
Hey, Manny, if you need a drummer on your new album, I can do that.
There you go.
Wait, did you hear the publicist say, come with me?
Yeah.
That was great.
She was pulling him away from
that
him.
That was fantastic.
I love that Manny is talking about, he's talking about glorifying the name of the Lord, and Muggs is like, F the Lord. What about me drumming?
I know you heard me the first time, but you're not responding to me. I'm a drummer.
Yeah. So, the biggest fight of the century on two pay-per-views, HBO and Showtime, how did I do?
A plus.
Yes.
A plus for me.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what? I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking of fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Look, we can't play that enough, right?
No, you really can't.
But we can play it enough, and we have played it enough.
No,
it's not possible. We've never played a moment with more times than
we'll play it right
now.
Not even close.
Come on.
You need us to play it again?
Play
it right now. Right now.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what?
I was thinking...
I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking of fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
It doesn't get any better the more times you hear it, that's for sure. Hey,
what about
the showbiz beat with Ralph Garman? What about that?
Just so sad.
Why are you sad?
Jimmy Greenspoon's dead.
Wait, who's Jimmy Greenspoon?
Come on, Jimmy Greenspoon.
Bean plays everyone.
Before I decide how sad I am, who's Jimmy Greenspoon?
He was the keyboard player for Three Dog Night.
Oh, that is sad.
The whole time, the glory years from the 60s to the 70s, all those amazing hits, he was playing keyboard in all those hits. Yeah.
Okay.
Bam, bam, bam. Right?
Organ? You know
that organ?
You know it.
What song is that?
I don't know.
Bam, bam,
I know it.
Bam.
I know it.
Of course you do.
Bean?
Never been
That's
to Spain.
Joy to the World.
Oh! Yeah, Joy to the World. Bam, bam, bam. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Bam, bam, bam. Huh.
Although Kevin came up with an actual Three Dog Night hit.
I didn't want to give myself too much credit for that, but I did.
That was very impressive. Name another one, Kevin.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Joy to the World.
Okay, we already named that one. Name another one. They have so many hits. I know you know more than
nope,
that.
Nope, I don't.
What about One is the Loneliest Day? You know that one, right?
But I know this one.
This is good! That's the No. Come on. Jimmy Greenspoon.
Yeah, that's sad. Kevin, did you used to be friends with one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night?
What?
Did you used to be friends with one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night? A guy you knew who used to tell us stories about.
Kevin is cocking his head to the side like a German Shepherd hearing a high-pitched whistle. So I think there may be something to this. It seems like...
I remember... I think... We went to the same chiropractor. I don't remember. It was like a doctor's appointment or something, and I was in there with one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night.
I think it was Corey Wells, if I recall correctly, of the three guys.
I texted Bean. I was like, this is so weird. You're the only person that will appreciate this. This was 24 years
ago. The ink is black. The page is white. Remember that?
Bump, bump.
I remember this.
Wheel in the sky. Anyway, sad dibs.
That is sad.
67 years old today. From metastatic melanoma. Kids, wear your sunscreen. It's BS.
Chapstick.
Right, you mean chapstick. Or chapstick, yeah.
If you're Muggs.
Pure Muggs. He is so getting melanoma, by the way.
His entire nose is peeling
off. It's going to come off. He's going to be one of those freak guys with his guy's a removable nose. He
needs
to clean it out at the end of the night. Get the swabs out. Clean that face cavity.
Fantastic.
My new horse, face cavity. Did you hear the latest? Now I'm done.
Did you hear the latest round of Beer Mug interviews?
I did, yeah.
He said, does anybody else have a question?
He was taking questions for Becky. He switched roles all of a sudden. He was his manager. All right, anybody else? Anybody else have a question? I'm going to take Manny out of here if you guys don't have any questions.
I've never heard anyone bail so fast.
He's the worst.
He's the best.
But he's the best. Congratulations to Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan. They, of course, stars of 50 Shades of Grey. Here's a sweet, sweet, sweet deal for them, and I can't believe this is possible, but apparently it is. They
were just hired for the one film.
What?
What?
I thought they always, if it was a series, don't they always?
Sometimes even if it's not a series, they'll sign you a contract for three or four films.
Yeah, definitely.
But apparently, they had no back-end deal for this film and no additional booking. So as you imagine, the second movie of the trilogy is in the works, and industry observers say there likely will be a big seven-figure payday for both of them for the next film. So you want to guess what their salaries were for this film?
Pretty low, right? I mean, they were pretty low. You know, like $800,000 an actor a picture.
Sounds right.
Million. Is that crazy? Is that a crazy
low? I don't know.
Low
I don't know what.
$250,000.
Wow. Oh,
they each got paid.
And the movie's made how much, Ross?
Now, don't get me wrong. $250,000.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Pretty nice check to get for a couple months' work.
But for a lead in a movie, it seems pretty low.
It's a chump change. So they'll be.
What'd it make?
$500 million so far worldwide, I think. So they will be getting significant increases.
Yeah. They'll be signing for $8 million next time we hear about them.
Yeah. They're going to get that altitude. Get right
they
off
are.
The
get that
boat.
Altitude. Get right off the boat. Yep.
That's right. Jimmy Kimmel's going to have Barack Obama on his show tonight. That's pretty cool.
It's great for traffic.
Oh, that's right. Oh, crap. Just dawned on me, and I have to be in that part of the world this afternoon.
Perfect.
No, it's not perfect.
It's perfect for you, Ralph. You love
this
traffic.
This is the LA Marathon all over again.
You're very patient with this type of thing.
Oh. James Vanderbeek's a bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting story coming from TMZ about there was a young lady named Kristen Halverson who went to an event called Wolfstock last Sunday. It was a animal adoption fair. Sometimes they have these. They get the puppies and the cats and the one-eyed loser animals and they can't get rid of anyone else.
I don't know they need to be characterized like that.
They're losers. They're losers and no one loves them.
They're not losers. They don't have a home.
They're losers.
Special and they need a forever home.
They put like a bunch of them in a barrel and nail it shut. They roll it out to one of these freaking fairs and they try to get suckers to take them home.
These
deficient, broken animals. Oh, take this dangerous animal into your home. I hope you have children. So when his dog goes off and rips somebody's scalp off, it's your four-year-old. Good luck. They give you with a box of milk bones and send you on your way. All brain-damaged, deficient animals.
That's not true, even a little bit.
So this sucker named Kristen Halverson falls in love with a Chihuahua mix at Wolfstock. And she was told she could adopt the animal the following Tuesday. So she gets there on Tuesday. And someone else was also told they could adopt the animal that following Tuesday. James Vanderbeek.
So there she is. Standoff?
There she is. She's staring across the counter from James Vanderbeek, who's giving her the old Dawson stare down. And so the shelter says, well, what are we going to do? Here's a piece of paper and a pen. Both of you write down a price you're willing to pay us for the animal, and whoever bids the highest walks out with this brain-damaged, deficient little creature.
So Vanderbeek does the right thing and pays for the pet for her.
Nope.
And then gets another one for himself.
Nope. Throws down the big coin, outbids Kristen's $300, walks out with the Chihuahua. Kristen's left holding nothing but her tears.
She didn't adopt another pet or anything?
I don't know. I don't care. But well, Vanderbeek got to kill, man.
To live anymore.
No, because Vanderbeek ruined her life. I don't want your life.
We don't know if any of this is true. We don't know if any of this is true, of course.
It's all true.
We don't know if any of this is
true. Especially the efficient animal part.
But Mr. Vanderbeek.
Do the right thing. Go to a puppy mill. That's where you
get
the good dogs.
No, don't say that. Ralph.
Go to one of those high-end mall pet shops. They do the best work.
Ralph Garman.
You get a good, wholesome, well-adjusted, healthy pet at one of those pet stores in the mall. They
That's
do good work.
That's not how it works. It's
go
the opposite
Go to a shelter
of
where they spay and neuter, get
shelters.
Your dog microchipped, and you'll get a lovely animal.
Oh, no,
do that. Ralph Garman,
just,
I'm so mad at you.
Shelters raise crazy animals that will likely kill you in your sleep. It's been proven.
Mr. Vanderbeek will be here on Wednesday, by the way.
What? The what?
Coming in on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Probably to take our dogs.
Save his new
That's
CSI Cyber Show.
He's coming in here to take our dogs.
Everybody lock your pets up.
I don't want your life.
Doesn't sound like something our James Vanderbeek would do, by the way.
By the way, he doesn't belong to us. He's not ours. What, did you get him at Dawson stock? Were they putting him up for auction, looking for a forever friend for Dawson?
No, we've had him on the show before, and he's always seems like a very nice man. It just sounds out of character for him.
Now that I know he's coming in Wednesday, I'm assuming this is false as well.
Me too. I'm sorry I reported it. I'm going to.
Doesn't sound true.
I'm
going
to suspend myself for a couple of days with pay.
And by the way, that CBS Cyber is going to be great.
Oh, hell yeah. Everything CSI does is good. I think it's CSI Cyber. I don't think it's CBS Cyber.
I think you're probably right.
I think it's where we read our mail here at work.
That's right.
CBS Cyber. He doesn't even know the name of the show. It's going to be great.
It's get some altitude to get off the boat.
I do.
It needs to happen. Wasn't he also in the that gritty reboot fan film of Power Rangers?
He sure was.
Yes, he was. He was great in that.
Yes, he was.
Take him to Woofstock. See anybody adopt him. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. This is very important. This is a sort of a public service message because CBS cares. So I don't want to give people a heads up. I don't know if you know about this, but playing video games can be dangerous if you do it too excessively.
Okay.
Brandon Davey wrote in, and I did want to share this. He said, it's a very sad the passing of my friend who was 20 years old, died from playing video games for upwards 12 hours at a time, says Brandon. I personally play video games, so naturally it worried me a lot as well. Apparently a blood clot formed in his leg and made its way to his lungs. So really, he sat too long and he got clotty.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
He sat too long and he got clotty. He sat too long and he got clotty. He sat too long and he got clotty.
How is this still a thing?
Listener Brandon Davey wrote that in. Thank you, Brandon. Don't forget, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Everybody enjoys it. They have a good time when they come. Our special guest, James Vanderbeek, this week.
Wow, that's great.
He'll be there stealing dogs from you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Liza Minnelli. By the way, that's just, James Vanderbeek won't actually be at the show. I don't know if he's showing up. Hey,
where's Dawson? Vanderbeek? You guys promised me Dawson.
He won't be at the Hollywood Improv on Friday night, 10 p.m. But I beg Kevin Smith.
Why are you whispering improv?
Say it. I don't want that guy who screams no all the time to hear me.
Okay. That's Nopey.
Today's celebrity
birthday.
See, that guy. Today's celebrity birthday is Liza Minnelli, 69, James Taylor, 67, Ron Jeremy, the legendary porn performer. I believe he's been in over 2,000 porn films in his career. It's a body of work.
I met him at April Foolishness two years ago.
I bet you did.
You're special guest.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We don't know you well, so forgive me if this is an offensive question. But...
I love it.
That's
love
the wind-up on the mound for Bean. Anytime he says anything like that, you know he's throwing the heat.
I'm not suggesting that you're attracted...
How much porn have you watched?
I'm not suggesting you're attracted
to Ron
Jeremy or that you would find him in any way attractive, but... If you get the chance to be with the hedgehog, just to say as a story to say that you did it, you got to go for that, right?
Not even a little bit. No.
Really?
But thank you so much for thinking I would do it for the story.
So you're no on Ron Jeremy then?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. I mean, if he was going to show it, I'd look. I don't want it touching me.
All right. That's pretty good policy, I think.
Yeah, right. I'll look.
That's a pretty solid policy.
Yeah. Chip agrees. Chip would look too.
Bean, I don't think women go for the story sex so much as men
really?
Do. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Brad Williams makes it sound like a lot of ladies want to have that midget story to share.
But he's a sad, lonely little man.
No, he's not.
He's got to tell those stories.
He's not
to make himself feel
he's
better.
He's not sad at all. He's awesome.
Ever since James Vanderbeek brought him home from the short stock, he just never really has been the same. He's been very damaged. Aaron Eckhart's 47 years old today. Graham Coxon's 46. Sam Levine is 33 years old. Jamie Alexander from Thor is 31. By the way, quick correction recap on the Will Ferrell story.
Yes.
He is not, in fact, playing all positions for each of those teams that he is playing with. He's playing one position with each of those 10 teams all day long so that he will play the entire, all the positions in baseball, but only one per team. Of the 10 teams today that he is working out with in Arizona for spring.
That would make me want to watch just that part of a baseball game.
Just Will?
Only Will.
Yeah. But he's going to be like on, left field or something like that. He won't get any action. But you want to see him.
But if you're a major league player, aren't you hitting the ball to Will Ferrell no matter where he is?
That's true.
And
I
you can probably control it pretty well.
And yeah, like the point you brought up, too, where, who's he pitching for? What team is he pitching for?
That team's getting a raw deal.
Shelled. He's going to catch a line drive right back to the cup. Looking forward to it.
Happened to me in high school, Ralph.
I know it did.
Happened to me in high school. Coach said, you know everyone's looking at you, right?
You're like, bleh.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Jimmy Pardo in the studio. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Miss Double December Ashley. And we have Miles Teller, who, of course, was in Whiplash and is also in Insurgent. We have him on Friday morning show. And don't forget, you can open up April Foolish.